It's 12 o'clock. NBC News Radio, I'm Robert Hager. Former terrorism advisor Richard Clark told the 9/11 investigators today that the Clinton administration had made fighting terrorism a top priority, but the incoming Bush administration was not as focused.
I believe the Bush administration in the first 8 months considered terrorism an important issue, but not an urgent issue.
Clark said he and CIA Director George Tenet repeatedly tried to raise the profile of the war on terror before 9/11. The White House has vigorously disputed Clark's testimony. French authorities don't know who placed a bomb on train tracks heading from Paris to Switzerland. A worker found the device half buried. It was defused. Kobe Bryant is facing the woman who's accusing him of rape in a Colorado courtroom. She's testifying about her sexual history. Under God, under fire. A California atheist had his day at the Supreme Court, arguing his daughter should not be forced to recite the Pledge of Allegiance because of the words, under God. I'm Robert Hager, NBC News Radio.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Oh, Raymond.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
They taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
Another startling fact from Progressive. When most Americans listen to car insurance commercials, this is what they hear. Talk about boring. It rivals, grouting your tub. So, here's some real news. At Progressive.com, we'll give you our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big-name companies. You could save hundreds. So go to Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We now return you to your regularly scheduled blah blah. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind, and we are cleaning up an accident at Wadsworth and Bowles. We do have a new accident coming in Mississippi and South Platte River Drive. Of course, we do have a new lane shift southbound I-25 for between Logan and University, so be aware. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, for the first time since the alleged incident last June, Kobe Bryant and his accuser are in the same room, specifically a courtroom in Eagle. Bruce Morton reports.
The alleged victim entered the building through a fire exit. This enabled her to make the shortest possible journey through the hallway and into the courtroom, a trip lasting just 2 or 3 seconds. Only seen from behind, she was dressed in tan slacks and a black jacket with shoulder-length reddish hair. At some point today and or tomorrow, she's expected to take the stand and answer questions about her sexual history. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
This report brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom. Bryant's accuser will not only have to look at Bryant, but she'll be the subject of a zealous cross-examination by defense attorney Pamela Mackey. At first blush, this may appear to be a courtroom mismatch. However, University of Denver law professor Karen Steinhauser says that's not necessarily so.
As long as the witness is telling the truth, then there's no mismatch involved, no matter how hostile an attorney might be or how difficult they might make their questions.
Steinhauser says even though the defense will be able to question the alleged victim about sexual history, getting such sensitive material admitted at trial will entail clearing a much higher bar. A military report set to be released this week will discuss a rise in soldier suicides. Since the Iraq War began last year, the Suicide Prevention Partnership in Colorado Springs says it has seen a 30% increase in calls for military families. Colorado Springs psychologist Joseph Michelli says prolonged exposure to trauma such as war increases the odds of suicide.
If you've been in a traumatic environment, particularly if you've been in a protracted, extended time in a traumatic environment, it increases the chances you're going to commit suicide.
The Pentagon reports at least 24 soldiers committed suicide while deployed in Iraq. 7 others have taken their lives after returning home. The Pentagon report shows the suicide rate for soldiers serving in Iraq was 17.3 per 100,000 people. That's compared to an average peacetime rate of 10.5. In sports, the Minnesota Timberwolves come to town tonight to play the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets have won just 4 of their last 10 games. It was just this past Sunday when the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets 98-77. Colorado Rockies take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks in spring training action this afternoon at High Corbett Field. Rocks and Seattle Mariners played to a 3-3 tie in 10 innings last night. Colorado Avalanche have the night off. They'll host the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow night. Avs had the lead last night against the Chicago Blackhawks, but Chicago came back to tie things up. That game ended with a 2-2 tie. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service, Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates, keep your current numbers. LibertyBellTelecom.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Ah, the joys of childbirth. A new addition to the family. Grandparents beaming with happiness. Your husband full of pride and joy. What's there not to love?
Stretch marks?
Right, stretch marks.
Yeah, so much for wearing a bathing suit. Ever.
Well, Mom, I have some great news for you. Now there's Renaissance, guaranteed to have you free of those stretch marks in just 4 weeks or your money back. Used in spas across the country and now available for the first time through this special offer.
Really?
Really. So enjoy the little guy and let us worry about the stretch marks. Call us today, whether your stretch marks are new or 10 years old or more. Renaissance works.
Get rid of stretch marks with Renaissance. Call 1-888-516-3298. Guaranteed results or your money back. Call 1-888-516-3298. Sexier skin in just weeks. Call 1-888-516-3298.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our way above average high temperature trend continues through the end of the work week. Our average this time of year, 56. Today, getting up to 75, which is 1 degree below our record for today, which is 76. Clouds and sun, isolated afternoon storms for today as well. Tonight, keeping the clouds around, isolated evening storms and partly cloudy overnight, 44. Tomorrow, lots of sun, just a few clouds, 74. 79 for Friday, partly cloudy. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 74 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150, KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and later in the broadcast, Wes McKinney and Jackie Braver will be joining us. They'll be talking about Rocky Flats. Wes was head of the grand jury, and Jackie was a whistleblower there. A lot of information still being suppressed. We'll be talking to them to find out what's going on. Want to remind you that I will be at Tattered Cover Low Dose, 7 o'clock, April the 19th. The public is welcome. Be helping to lead a discussion on the One Denver, One Book. Peace Like a River. So I hope to see you there. We're going to be giving away tickets to the Madstone Theater, Friday night's premiere of Tony Shalhoub's Made Up, starring Brooke Adams, and we're going to do that, I think, on Friday. We're going to be giving next Monday tickets away for retired General Tommy Franks. He's going to be speaking Tuesday night, March 30th, 7 p.m., Betchert Concert Hall. We are one of the sponsors. And tomorrow we're going to be joined by National Book Award winner and New York Times bestselling author Edward Ball. His new book, Peninsula of Lies, a true story of mysterious birth and taboo love. So we'll be talking with him. But right now we're going to be talking to our own KNRC's Justin Kratzer. He is at the Hornet Bar and Restaurant at 76 South Broadway in Denver. He's giving out all kinds of stuff, which we'll find out what he's giving out, because there's a whole new ad campaign about my show and me called Flush Rush, and we are appearing in bathrooms, restrooms all over the Denver. Justin, why are you at the Hornet?
We're at the Hornet today, Enid, celebrating the Flush Rush campaign. We're out here at the Hornet inside both bathrooms. There is the Flush Rush ad campaign for the Enid Goldstein Show, noon to 3. We're out here just out to get response and give away some stuff to people who will tell us what they think of the ad campaign.
Is there anybody there, actually?
There's actually probably 20 to 25 people in the restaurant. We just got here, so we're just kind of waiting around.
Has anybody gone into the restroom yet? Where my ads are appearing?
I haven't actually
And don't make any snide remarks either about my ads appearing in the restroom, Justin.
Yeah, I like your ad campaign. I think it's pretty good.
It is. It's a very hip campaign. What are you giving away to encourage people to go into the restrooms and look at my ads?
Okay, if people come down to eat at the Hornet or either just go in and check out the ad campaign and let me know what you think, we're giving away T-shirts that say AM1150KNRC, the Drive Talkin' mug. We have some left of those, and we're giving those out today as well as the static sticker bumper stickers.
Okay, so anybody that you've talked to over there, any wise and witty comments from anybody?
The best thing that I've gotten so far is had nothing to do with the ad campaign, but I had somebody tell me that Enid needs to be on from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, well, that's nice. That was a compliment. I'll never sleep. But that was really a compliment, Justin.
Yes, it was.
Well, thank you very much. All right, well, if there's any news to report, I trust you'll bring it to us.
Absolutely.
And the Hornet is at what, 17th and Broadway? Where is the Hornet?
The Hornet is at 76 South Broadway. It's cross streets, so it would be Broadway and First Street. The entrance is right there on the corner on the southwest side.
Oh, I got that all wrong. Broadway and First Street. There probably is no such thing as 17th and Broadway. Oh, yeah, there is sort of a place where it splits off there. Okay, Justin, and what do they serve at the Hornet?
Hamburgers, normal lunch food, hamburgers, sandwiches, salads, and other steaks and stuff. So.
Well, it will be hard to miss the vehicle that Justin is piloting because I've never seen anything like it. It's like a 60s Army ambulance that has been repainted to say exuberantly would be putting it mildly, right, Justin?
Very mildly. The 1962 Army ambulance is painted in bright red with black and white lettering. It's parked right outside the front door, so you cannot miss us.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you very much for that report.
Thank you, Enid, and I'll talk to you later on.
All right. Thanks, Justin. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, and I'm appearing in a lot of restrooms around town and a lot of the restaurant restrooms and bar restrooms and places like that. So look for me there. There are some people who think that's an appropriate venue for moi, but I disagree. Anyway, I watched Nightline last night, and I knew that what they would probably be talking about was the 9/11 Commission. I'm finding the 9/11 Commission testimony really compelling. I don't know if you're watching it. I don't know if you're keeping up with it. C-SPAN has it. CNN has it. Listen to me for 3 hours and then go back to CNN. Everybody is on pins and needles because the person testifying this afternoon is going to be Richard Clark. And here's what the WAGs are all saying. They're all saying, well, he wrote one thing in his book, but now he is testifying under oath, and we'll see what he has to say. Meanwhile, the White House is in ferocious damage control mode. They are hitting back as hard as they possibly can. Watching last night, the recap on Nightline, some of the testimony and the reporting, I like Nightline because I think they do a really good job. They're smart, and they are not simply superficial. And you had pictures of Dr. Condoleezza Rice. And she's the only one who is refusing to testify under oath. And here she is all over the cable TV shows. Here she is all over the airwaves trying to spin her version of events and the regime's version of events. But she will not testify under oath in front of the 9/11 Commission. And I wonder why not. And I wonder why the media isn't asking that question. Furthermore, Nightline, and we have talked about this, I've brought this to your attention, but I have seen very little reporting about it. The only reason we have the 9/11 Commission is that four widows of 9/11 who did not know each other, who were not sophisticated and experienced in the ways of media or anything else, they were housewives. They got together and they pushed it. And when I saw the reporting about it last night on Nightline, it was like a light bulb went off. And I thought, wait a minute. They waited until 2002. Nothing happened. They thought that, you know, normal channels, the country would want to know what happened that encouraged 9/11, if anything did encourage it, and how we might strengthen the country as a result of 9/11. And nothing happened. They all had to get together step by step, getting together and making this 9/11 Commission happen because it would not have happened without them. The president wanted to do a do-nothing, know-nothing kind of commission. He wanted to put Henry Kissinger in charge of it, and there was a big outcry. There was a lot of screaming, and that plan got scrapped, and Henry Kissinger would not reveal who his clients were. I mean, there was a whole big stink. So that didn't happen, but this 9/11 Commission did finally occur because these four women didn't know that they couldn't do it. And they came to testimony after testimony after testimony, and they were told if they didn't get behind this, it simply wouldn't happen, and they did it. I think it's remarkable for a lot of reasons. When people say, well, I'm just one person, I can't do anything, you can. One person can make a huge difference. I mean, I'll say one word, Jesus Christ. I'll say another word, Einstein. One person can make an immense difference. So think about that. Someone very wise once said to me, you know, you do things in life, you put one foot in front of another, and it's ordinary, ordinary, ordinary. And if you extrapolate it out, it becomes extraordinary. Think about that. Think about what you can do in your close circle, because that's how it starts. It doesn't start with any global situation. It may become global. In this case, it becomes global. But it just started with four women just putting one foot in front of another, hearing about one test, one place where they would have to testify, and then another committee hearing where they would have to testify, and they would just keep going. And, you know, finally, the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. And that is what has happened. But, again, and something that came out of the Nightline show last night that I have not heard any place else, the three widows of the four, they interviewed three of them, and they said that they were chagrined at the proceedings that are underway right now that we are watching because certain questions are not allowed to be asked. And we never found out what those questions were. Nightline did not report it. One of the widows said it. Now, if anybody can find out what those questions are that cannot be asked, that they're not allowed to ask, why should anything be off limits? Now, maybe you can't reveal certain things because there are present security considerations and maybe some information is classified, but you should be able to ask anything. What questions specifically are not being asked? And what has also emerged from the 9/11 Commission is that we will be hit again. Everybody agrees that it is going to happen again. And listening to these people talk, suddenly it's not like, oh, it's an abstract concept. It'll happen sometime, not here, I hope. Some other place. I hope I'm not around. I hope I'm not near. And I'll tell you something. One of the reasons that I wasn't unhappy about getting out of the Bay Area is that every time I crossed the Golden Gate Bridge and everybody said the same thing. You had National Guard there who were, you know, let's be honest, weekend warriors a lot of times. A lot of people feel like the Bay Area is a huge target. And those cargo ships come in on their way to the port of Oakland, and you could set bombs off that they contain, they're not screened for their cargo. You could rig something up and then set it off by a cell phone on the mainland. I mean, it's the Bay Area could be kind of a problematic place to be right now at a time of terrorism, as beautiful as it is and as wonderful as it is. 303-382-1150. So everyone agrees, and it's being reinforced big time in the 9/11 hearings right now, that we are going to be hit again. Meanwhile, our soldiers are tied up in an irrelevant and unnecessary war in Iraq and tired out. Tied up and tired out. Because we've been trying to do this on the cheap, what has happened is that they have lengthened the stay of their duty, and that's what's going on. And I think that we have made ourselves a lot weaker. So Bush is running on a platform where the only thing he can point to, and it's not even true, is that he has been strong on terrorism. In fact, he has been weak, which is why we were hit. And once we were, like Wrong Way Corrigan, he was so confused and so twisted around, he goes after the wrong person, the wrong country, which is Iraq. We were hit because I believe we were weak. I think Bush has, in fact, been weak on terrorism, and the reluctance for anybody to discuss it publicly means that that's the last thing they want us to know. I think that as much as we've made fun about this administration and how incompetent they seem and how they've had no track record of success, and remember, this is an administration surrounded by your father's Oldsmobile. These are people who, one of the selling points in voting for George W. Bush is he didn't know anything, but he was surrounded by people who had decades of public experience. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, people of that caliber. And it turns out that what you would expect of them, they did less and knew less, and have accomplished less, and have been as incompetent as the president-in-chief. the puppet president. I think he really is. And the testimony now is revealing that Dick Cheney has done things that no other vice president has done before. Unprecedented things. He's sat into national security meetings. He has run everything. He is. Ladies and gentlemen, my mother used to say about Nancy Reagan, when Ronald Reagan was in office and knew his own name, she used to say, your president is Nancy Reagan, because she'd always whisper in his ear, she'd tell him what to say. Maybe he was suffering from the early stages of Alzheimer's during the later stages of his presidency. I do not know. But my mom used to say, Nancy Reagan is your president. And I want to say to you right now, you didn't vote for him, but Dick Cheney, crooked man, crooked heart, that dick in the White House is actually your president. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. I'm Mina Goldstein, and you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You wanted live local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge products. During this event, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory. Profit is not a major consideration. MedVet is stocked fence to fence with a wide variety of Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Liberties, Chrysler minivans, and the all-new Chrysler 300. More arrive daily. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers, and financial officers will be on hand for immediate credit approval. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The MedVet Massive Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. The Colorado Symphony Chorus joins the Colorado Symphony for a performance of Four's Requiem, Handel's Coronation Anthem No. 1, and more on March 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. He's president of the National Organization for Men.
This is getting scary.
He's the local chapter head of PETA, People Who Eat Tasty Animals.
Knucklehead.
He's bucking for president of Halliburton.
I'm here to make sure you don't say anything controversial.
Doug Kellett, afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
What strange goings on.
Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Your government failed you. Those entrusted with protecting you failed you. And I failed you.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
You are listening to Richard Clark, who is right now testifying before the 9/11 Commission. We're going to try and bring that to you, some of that, if we can. We have a number of you on the line, so let me go to that, and then we'll go to Richard Clark's testimony, because everybody is waiting for that testimony. Let's head over to Marty, calling from Arvada. Hi, Marty. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, we have something for you. Wait a minute.
Well, I haven't had one of those in a while.
Well, now you have.
Hey, great. I know that you like to take people who disagree with you because it makes for more interesting radio, and I disagree with you about your characterization of Bush and the administration going after Iraq first. As I recall, there was a war in Afghanistan months before Iraq, and Afghanistan was where the
That's right.
Al-Qaeda remnants
That's
and
right.
the Taliban were.
Yes. Yes, but he ultimately went to war against Iraq after that, took his eyeballs off of Afghanistan. As a result, he has allowed Al-Qaeda to regroup and get stronger. As a result, our soldiers...
The Al-Qaeda leadership were already either captured or killed, Enid, and they're going after more of them.
I don't know that that's true. I haven't heard the figure of two-thirds of the Al-Qaeda leadership, but everybody agrees, Marty, that by going into Iraq, which was unnecessary, irrelevant, Iraq, whatever, however bad Saddam was absolutely contained and not a threat to us. Our soldiers are tired out. Their tours of duty have been extended. Many will never go back into the Guard again. It's been a mass exodus. And if we are hit, we are amazingly vulnerable, because what we have done by going into Iraq is create a recruiting poster for terrorists and jihadists everywhere.
Let me ask you two questions.
So how can you say that Bush has been strong on terror? He hasn't. He's weakened
us. Because I think that he has been.
And what about our first responders are over in Iraq?
Are you going to let me talk, or are you going to just talk over me?
Make the point.
I'd like to respond.
Make the point, Marty.
Okay.
Without your editorial comments.
My editorial comments are...
Make the point, Marty.
The point is that Bush went first into Afghanistan, addressed the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
How did he address the Taliban and Al-Qaeda? Where's Osama bin Laden? Where is he?
He's not yet captured.
Where's Ayman al-Zawahiri? Where's Ayman, the number two guy? Where's he? He's not been captured either?
Two-thirds of the top leadership have been captured or killed.
I have never seen two-thirds figure. And where does anybody know how many? This is like a virus. It's worldwide. Two-thirds of the top. Who was captured? I think that's a bogus figure, Marty.
Are quoting those comments every day.
But why are we in Iraq? How can you defend being in
Iraq? We are in Iraq because of the fact that Saddam Hussein and his regime posed a direct threat against not only...
How did they do that, Marty?
But also the region...
How did they pose a direct threat to us?
He was a direct threat to us by the fact that he had the capability... The money, the resources to,
but he didn't.
To develop.
There were no weapons of mass destruction.
The centrifuge that was buried in one of the scientists' backyards.
There was some rusty old. There were parts, Marty, of a rusty old centrifuge. Saddam Hussein was contained, and he has no connection with Al Qaeda at all.
You, as well as I know, that you and the liberal left were making a lot of noise to stop the embargo because of the thousands and thousands of children that were being killed because they didn't have any food.
Marty, you're looking at a president who is so weak on terror, and you don't want to admit it, and he's gone to fight a country that did us no harm and that was effectively
Now
I'm talking with a country that was effectively contained. It has sapped our resources. It's now roughly about $100 billion. More of our people are being killed every day. We try to do this on the cheap. We don't have enough people over there. And what it does is effectively puts people who would have been our first responders in our country had we been hit during this time. It puts them over in Iraq. It takes our eyes off of Afghanistan. Now we're directing our attention back to Afghanistan. But in the interim, we have allowed Al-Qaeda to strengthen itself. And there is no way around that, Marty. I don't care what you say about two-thirds leadership. It is completely irrelevant to the argument.
Well, I think it's completely irrelevant because the fact of the matter is the United States is a target rich environment. It has to be. There are thousands.
Yeah, so
thousands
why don't we have
targets.
Our first responders over here defending us? Why don't we make some changes so that we defend our ports, screen the cargo coming through our ports? Why don't we protect some of our chemical facilities, our nuclear facilities, our water facilities? None of that has happened in this regime. So Marty, you're not making a case for a president who's strong on terror, and you have not made a case for going to war against Iraq, because All you are doing is spewing out. You're excreting the Republican talking points, and there's no substance to any of them.
Is that what we're getting into now, is name-calling? I thought we were having a fairly...
I didn't call you a name. I just described accurately what is going on here, which is that you are excreting...
What is coming out of my mouth.
You are excreting the Republican talking points. There is no case to be made for why we went to war against Iraq.
I am a Republican, and I am a supporter of President Bush.
I can see that. No matter what, no matter what the facts are, that there are no weapons of mass destruction, that Iraq was effectively contained, that we went after them, that according to at least two high-level accounts, former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill and now Dick Clark, both of them...
In the loop for national security.
Oh, Marty, are you going to fall for that? He wasn't in the loop. If they were so dumb and they were so out of the loop, what does it say about the executive abilities of this regime that they just didn't get rid of them? Why did they even ask them to stay on? These are people who have had distinguished careers. So now suddenly they didn't know what was going on. They were nobodies. They weren't in the loop. I can't believe, Marty, that a man of your purported intelligence would buy that tired old way of discrediting. You need to deal with the charges that are made, and you aren't doing that, Marty.
Just going to talk over me. Is that right? Or are we going to have a discussion?
Well, I think we're finished because I haven't heard you make any kind of a case. 303-382-1150. Bob calling from Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The thing that I kind of find disturbing in listening to the last guy speak was the secrecy, like you said, of this administration, which I find no different.
Even if it's consumer data on tires that you have paid for the collection of, they don't want you to know about it. You've got to ask yourself why they won't testify and why they don't want you to know anything that's going on. And I think the answer is going to be a lot more ordinary than you may imagine. Not only that they may be up to some kind of chicanery, that they're doing, you know, practically in plain sight. But I think what they don't want you to know fundamentally is how much President Bush is not in control and how incompetent they are. And if they keep a tight shroud and a tight lid on everything, spin it every way they, the only way they want you to know something, everything is a political decision, not a policy decision. They only want to know how it'll play well. That, I think, is the real reason everything is shrouded in secrecy.
The other thing that nobody and everybody talks around, especially, is in this top secret meetings that Cheney had at the start of the administration of the oil industry people and energy policy. Oh, you suppose there is any maps of Iraq in those that have already been shredded? Or
I don't know. Shredded? I haven't got a clue on that, Bob. I thank you for the call. I want to tell you something. This is an administration that wants to know every jot and tittle about your life, but they don't want you to know anything about how they're conducting a government. And this, we're talking about a democracy. We're talking about a kind of fundamental in our country where we have sunshine laws and where we have transparency in government. That's what democracy is about, not in secret and the secret proceedings like Star Chamber proceedings. Steve, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing today, Enid?
Doing well.
I see that another conservative got you fired up before I had a chance.
Well, the thing is, he gets me fired up because you guys are buying the most stupid arguments in the world. It's like it's impossible even to argue with it when people are buying what the Republican talking points are, that these people like O'Neill, Dick Clark, they're all discredited.
Well,
they were all out of the loop. They were all nobodies. Is everybody in the administration out of the loop and a nobody when they finally start to go public with what's really going on there?
Well, actually, I'm glad you brought up Mr. Clark because I emailed you a little earlier with a link to a transcript from what Mr. Clark had to say in late
That's
September.
That's the White House trying to spin things very badly for Mr. Clark.
So you're saying that Mr. Clark...
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look it over, but I know that they are on ferocious high attack. They're on DEFCON 3 level trying to... They are trying to destroy Clark. And he said, bring on the dogs, but he doesn't know. It's like Kobe Bryant's accuser. He has no idea what's in store for him.
Well, Enid, I guess it boils down to this. If...
I want you, Steve, I want you, instead of trying to get yourself here a talk show gig, I want you to address the subject of Dick Clark's allegations. Not Dick Clark. I don't want to hear whether he was in the loop, whether he was out of the loop, whether he was a nobody or whether he was somebody. But he is saying some very powerful things about the administration,
right.
And the strength to which they are coming back at him indicates to me that he has hit a nerve big time.
Well, I didn't work with Mr. Clark, so I have to go by those that did. This morning I watched George Tenet's testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission, and George Tenet directly counters what you are saying and what Mr. Clark is saying. They go point by point different things that the Bush administration did as soon as they took office to...
What does it say about the Bush administration that they kept Clark on if he was such a numb nuts? Why did they keep him on if he didn't know anything? I mean,
well,
that.
Hang on.
You know what we're going to do right now, Steve?
I'm
going to thank you for the call, and I think what we should do is check in on some of Dick Clark's testimony. Let's just see. He's right in front of the 9/11 Commission. Let's overhear what he has to say.
Who cares? I was asked to highlight the positive aspects of what the administration had done and to minimize the negative aspects of what the administration had done. And as a special assistant to the president, one is frequently asked to do that kind of thing. I've done it for several presidents.
Well, okay.
He's being questioned by former Republican Governor Thompson of Illinois.
Details. Principals met at the end of the summer, approved them in their first meeting, changed the strategy by authorizing the increase in funding fivefold. Did they authorize the increase in funding fivefold?
Authorized but not appropriated.
Well, but the Congress appropriates, don't they, Mr. Clark?
Well, within the executive branch, there are two steps as well. Within the executive branch, there's the policy process, which you can compare to authorization, which is to say we'd like to spend this amount of money for this program. And then there is the second step, the budgetary step, which is to find the offsets, and that had not been done. In fact, it wasn't done until after September 11th.
Changing the policy on Pakistan, was the policy on Pakistan changed?
Yes, sir, it was.
Changing the policy on Uzbekistan, was it changed?
Yes, sir.
Changing the policy on the Northern Alliance assistance, was that changed?
Well, let me back up. I said yes to the last two answers. It was changed only after September 11th. It had gone through an approvals process. It was going through an approvals process with the deputies. Committee, and they had approved it. The deputies had approved those policy changes.
You're listening to Richard Clark's testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission. He's being grilled very hard by Republican Governor, former Illinois Governor Thompson.
Those three things which you've mentioned were approved by the principal.
And you're also listening to Enid Live.
They were not approved by the president, and therefore the final approval hadn't occurred until after September 11th.
But they were approved by people in the administration below the level of the president, moving towards the president. Is that not correct?
Yes. Over the course of many, many months, they went through several committee meetings at the sub-cabinet level, and then there was a hiatus, and then they went to, finally, on September 4th, a week before the attacks, they went to the principals for their approval. But of course, the final approval by the president didn't take place until after the attacks.
Well, is that eight-month period unusual?
It is unusual when you are being told every day that there is an urgent threat.
Well, but the policy involved changing, for example, the policy on Pakistan, right? So you would have to involve those people in the administration who had charge of the Pakistani policy, would you not?
The Secretary of State has, as a member of the Principals Committee, has that kind of authority over all of foreign policy issues.
You have been listening to a few minutes of Richard Clark's testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission. He's being grilled very hard by Republican former Illinois Governor Thompson. We're going to take a news break right now, but we'll check in. We'll dip in and out of his testimony because I think he's the one everybody has been waiting for. The Republicans are out for blood with him because it's one thing to put things into a book, and it is another thing to testify under oath in front of Congress. So the Republicans are going to be really hard now on him. Now, let me tell you something. In case you missed it yesterday, Richard Clark is a registered Republican. He voted for Bush in the last election. He served under Reagan. He served under Bush 1. He served under Clinton. And he served under Bush 2. 303-382-1150. You are listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 71 degrees. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW. Just not a lot going on. A really nice drive. We are accident-free right now. We do have the lane shift that you're going to need to worry about. Southbound I-25 from Logan to University. That'll be a little hitch in your get-along. Northbound I-25, just a bit slow through the tech center. Nothing out of the ordinary. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
The woman who claims that Kobe Bryant raped her is in a closed-door pretrial hearing in a court in Eagle today. She practically sneaked into the building, coming in through a fire exit and evading the media. The judge in the case has ruled that the 19-year-old must answer questions about her sexual history. This report brought to you by Health One. That balloonist who set an altitude record in an open basket hot air balloon yesterday could be in trouble with the FAA. The agency says the 47-year-old balloonist didn't file a flight plan, and his altitude of more than 40,000 feet put him close to the flight altitudes of commercial airliners. The FAA says he could face criminal charges and face fines up to $100,000. Opening day for the Colorado Rockies is set for next month, but before that happens, the city wants to be sure that the escalators at Coors Field are working the way they're supposed to. City inspectors are at the ballpark today testing the escalators. More than 30 people were injured last July when one of the moving stairways malfunctioned. The hospitals and surgical centers of Health One are sponsoring a career fair 11 to 4 p.m. March 25th at Wings Over the Rockies. Information at healthonecares.com or call 877-HEALTH-1. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1240.
AM 1150 KNRC and Desi Cortez live. Sunday mornings at 10, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well, and of course Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN. Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
In a classroom, a group of eager fourth graders sits intently and studies how a cricket makes noise. In back sits a member of the American Institute of Architects, intently studying how fourth graders learn. The best thing you can teach kids is an enthusiasm for learning, and the place to make that happen is in a well-designed school. The sooner you involve an architect, the better the school. AIA, building on your vision. Go to www.aia.org.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The incredible warmth is going to give way on Sunday when temperatures fall back into the low 50s, so just be ready for that. Today, isolated afternoon thunderstorms with a high near 75. Spotty thunderstorms this evening with lows in the lower 40s. And it'll be partly cloudy and continued quite warm tomorrow with a high of 74. Turning windy on Friday with a high near 80. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 1241. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny, and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, The Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching. The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
He won't read you word for word the Denver Post on his show every morning.
Who are you?
Jimmy Lakey on AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're going to dip in and out of Richard Clark's testimony. He's now talking to Jamie Gorelick. And he is saying that fighting terrorism was not a high priority for this administration. Let's see. Let's hear a little bit of what he has to say. And Jamie Gorelick said that she's seen some documents that make her hair stand up. She can't talk about them. They're classified. But she was able to see them. And I think she was an assistant attorney general under Janet Reno. So let's listen to a little of Dick Clark's testimony.
In addition to that, Director Tenet was asked to draft anew some covert, additional covert action authorities. Is that right?
That's right, in part because Mr. Hadley found the existing six memorandums of covert action authority to be Talmudic. It's actually, I think, Mr. Hadley who gets credit for that work. But it wasn't really meant to expand them significantly other than providing aid, direct aid, to Afghan factions.
Now, you have just described, then, the skeleton, if you will, of what was approved by the administration as of September 4th, and we know that no further action was taken before September 11th. And so I would read to you, and these are questions I would have put to Dr. Rice, had she been here, and I will put to her, the White House designee, Secretary Armitage. She says, our strategy, she says, which was expected to take years, marshaled all elements of national power to take down the network, not just respond to individual attacks with law enforcement measures. Our plan called for military options to attack al-Qaeda and Taliban leadership, ground forces and other targets, taking the fight to the enemy where he lived. Is that an accurate statement in your view?
No, it's not.
Ooh, you're listening
to
Enid Live. Testimony of Richard Clark before the 9/11 Commission being questioned by Jamie Gorelick.
The issue of aid to the Northern Alliance, the response to the coal. The other item that we have heard about that was deferred until the policy emerged was the action on the set of covert authorities or the draft of covert authorities that Director Tenet supplied to the NSC in, I believe it was March of 01. Is that true?
Yes.
And no action was taken on those until after 9/11. Is that correct?
That's correct.
After the millennium, you were asked by Sandy Berger, and he testified about it this morning, to do an after-action report. And he described how there were 29 recommendations and a huge supplemental, et cetera.
Well, thank you.
The report doesn't address some of the systemic issues. And you, above maybe anybody else, saw the systemic problems. I mean, you have described yourself the problems with the FBI, the wall between the FBI and the CIA. We've heard about the disconnect between the State Department watch list and the FAA no-fly list. We've heard about really the inadequacy of our visa program and the consular effort. So my question for you is this. You had a great shot after the millennium to take a whack at these problems, which you no doubt must have seen, or maybe I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, perhaps there's some you hadn't seen. Why was the after-action report post-millennium as modest as it was? Why didn't it address these fissures and these gaps in the system?
Well, it made 28 or 29 recommendations. Had all of those recommendations been easy to do, they would have been implemented before or after the after-action report. Many of the 28 or 29 recommendations were implemented, but some of them weren't because we went pretty far in the art of the practical, the art of the possible with those recommendations. And that's probably why some of them never got done, and some of them still haven't been done. I've learned over time that if you go for the perfect solution, the best solution, you don't get very far in actually achieving things. You can write nice reports, if you're at the Brookings Commission or something. But if you want to get something done in the real world, you do what is doable and you try to do a little bit more. But you don't shoot for the moon. And I think some of the systemic things that are obvious to you, and I know they are, were more practical after 9/11 than they were after the millennium. Remember, in the millennium, we succeeded in stopping the attacks. That was good news. But it was not good news for those of us who also wanted to put pressure on the Congress and pressure on OMB.
You're listening to Richard Clark's testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission. He's being questioned, grilled by Jamie Gorelick, who asked him why he didn't do more after 9/11, and he gives a response that, you know, has something to do with the real world, maybe. Maybe it's a bureaucrat's response. He has had a history of distinguished service. He's a registered Republican. The White House is coming at him with all of its dogs. 303-382-1150. We'll have more of the testimony and take some of your calls as well. Richard calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Richard.
How are you?
Good.
Listen, I know that you have a radio show to run, so you missed some of Mr. Clark's testimony, which I thought was really important, that I think you and some of your liberal callers might be interested in. Earlier in the day, when Governor Keene was questioning him, he was asking him what we have really learned about 9/11 that should have been different, or what are some of the root causes of 9/11. And he said, well, above all, he thought that it was the fact that the United States Congress repeatedly gutted the human intelligence and covert operations capacity of the American intelligence community over the years. I'm sure that's not something you want to hear, is it, Enid? But that's what Mr. Clark, your hero, said.
Richard, your snideness isn't even witty. But if, I know that a certain
that's
amount
what the man said.
But wait a minute. Just a minute. And you know that that isn't good for your side, Enid. I mean, gee, Richard, aren't you smarter than that? Let me tell you something. Some of what he is saying is actually true.
Yeah,
a lot of it has been gutted, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you who else has written about this. He wrote in advance of 9/11, and I'm going to, let's see, there are two names that he wrote by, and somehow it escapes me, but I'll think of it. Mark is his first name, and he's a former intelligence agent, former CIA operative, and he wrote before 9/11, and I think he wrote either in Harper's or the Atlantic Monthly about how we were so ill-prepared. We didn't have enough human intelligence. We had no Arabic speakers. We had almost nobody, I think maybe nobody, who spoke the languages of Afghanistan, Pashtun, and Dari, I believe. And so we knew that our CIA was not in great shape before that. But these are issues that transcend, I think, these are very important issues. So your snideness, I think, is so ill-taken, Richard. You don't get it. I mean, I love this country. I want us to do the right thing. I don't want us to gut the CIA in ways that will keep the CIA's hands tied. But at the same time, you have got an organization here that has turned itself into a lot of careerism. People didn't want to dirty themselves with boots-on-the-ground kind of intelligence work that they would have to do. So they relied increasingly on technology, which didn't solve the problem.
Enid, why don't you want to hear what I have to say?
I've addressed exactly what you've had to say. What is it that you think I haven't heard or I haven't addressed?
The fact that Senator John Kerry is the man who repeatedly voted to gut the CIA time and time again.
You know what, Richard? You are ill-informed on that one. You are just taking the Republican talking points and you're number two in excreting them. That is not true. There were a lot of complications on the CIA, and it wasn't just the CIA. You have a president here who has been weak on terrorism from the beginning. And why? I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think Dr. Condoleezza Rice has not testifying under oath in front of this commission? Why do you think she won't do it? And why do you think the president only wants to give them 1 hour of his time? What do you think that's all about?
Why do you think Senator Kerry voted to go?
Wait. I'm asking you, Richard, I'm asking you a question. Why do you think Condoleezza Rice will not testify under oath in front of this commission? And why will the president give them only an hour of his time?
Well,
what do you think that's all about?
She doesn't want to submit herself to the likes of Ms. Gerlich, who is a Democratic shill just like you are.
You know, Richard, I wish you were smarter, and we really could.
I know the woman, by the way.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
How do you know her?
I was in the Justice Department for 17 years.
I wish you were smarter so we could debate these issues, and I wish you weren't victim. I wish you weren't the victim of your own ideology, and it's like the thief who thinks everybody else is out to steal. All you can do is accuse me of being the victim of what you perceive to be my own ideology. Well, I will make it very plain. I'm anti-Bush. I think he's a horrible president. You really can't point to any kind of success that he's had except for brilliant spinning in the Oval Office. If you can point to a major success, I'd like to hear what it is.
I'd like to hear any success that Clinton had against Al-Qaeda.
Oh, Richard, what did you do in the Justice Department? I don't want to know. I'm glad you're not there anymore. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Traffic makes us crazy.
Drive carefully.
But Darren Copeland makes the ride home just a bit easier. Keep up with the latest traffic info afternoons during the Doug Khaled Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Quest Choice Business. Your business line plus any five features for just $39.99 a month. Simple, flexible, affordable. That's the spirit of service in action.
Hi, Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow here, back to invite you to get deeper into movies at Madstone Theaters at Tamarack Square during the Premiere Pick Series. 6 weeks of six critically acclaimed films showing for 1 week only.
And this week we'll be watching Made Up, a comedy starring Brooke Adams and Tony Shalhoub. I thought it was an interesting commentary on our culture's obsession with beauty.
It's been called a coming-of-middle-age comedy, or better yet, Mom Gets an Extreme Makeover.
You know, I've had a crush on Brooke Adams since Days of Heaven and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And Tony Shalhoub is always entertaining. He also directed Made Up. A lot of folks know him from the TV show Monk.
I think KNRC listeners will really have a lot of fun with this film. I'd love to hear their reaction of it.
That's easy enough. Come see Made Up and then come tell Walter and me what you think. We'll be at Madstone Theaters every Saturday night leading a free discussion of the premiere picked film of the week.
Made Up runs from March 26th through April 1st only at Madstone. For showtimes and information, call 303-752-3200 or visit madstonetheaters.com.
Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
When you're the voice of reason, very few things get you excited. So you wouldn't expect something like a good price on a great copier to be one of them. But when the subject is a Xerox digital copier that delivers 35 quality pages a minute for a surprisingly low lease price of $134 a month and is so advanced it can be upgraded to scan, fax, and even email, well, that's enough to even make the voice of reason pick up the phone.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been thinking about donating your car, boat, truck, or RV? Jewish Family Service makes helping the less fortunate while saving on your taxes as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Call Jewish Family Service at 303-597-5000. 2. Arrange a pickup time. 3. Get a receipt for your tax donation. It's that easy. Call JFS at 303-597-5000 or visit their website at jewishfamilyservice.org and point your car in a direction that will help children and families in need.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Hey, let's go to the phones. We got some winners. Here's what I need you to do. You got to tell me who you switched from and why. Marie in Denver, she's won a gift back. Marie, welcome to the program. Who'd you switch from and why?
I switched from KOA, and I just like a different perspective, and you guys furnish that.
Let's go to Tracy. Tracy, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, who'd you switch from and why?
Hey, Hal.
How come?
I get tired of hearing him talk about the same thing every single morning.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. More opinions than you can keep track of. Stay with AM 1150 KNRC as newsmakers comment on the news. A daily feature at 7:07 a.m. and 5:07 p.m. with Senators John Andrews and Mark Hillman, Representative Andrew Romanoff, and former Colorado Governor Dick Lamb. Another exclusive feature here from AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:57 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're dipping in and out of the Richard Clark testimony in front of the 9/11 Commission. I'm finding it fascinating. It's hard to do two things at once. Let's go to the phones. Arnie calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Don't let him get you down, Enid. You know, it's really fascinating to listen to these so-called Bush loyalists, which I don't understand to begin with, how they're falling all over themselves and one another to try and come out of this hole that their illegitimate president has dug for himself and for the rest of his party. All they can do is come back like a broken record and say, well, what about Bill Clinton? The issue is not Bill Clinton.
It's, you know, when they can't make the argument, and by the way, I should introduce you properly. You're Arnie Grossman, who we have heard on this radio station.
Uh-oh, I'm uncovered now.
Oh, you are uncovered. when they can't make the argument, it's always Bill Clinton.
That's right. You know, it's also interesting that the far right, or far wrong, really is what it is, had tried so long and is still trying to so demonize and destroy any member of the Clinton family, including his daughter, including his wife, who has turned out to be an extraordinary senator. They can't let go. But dare to challenge the integrity of George W. Bush, where there is none, the intelligence of George W. Bush, which is also missing, and the strength and patriotism of George W. Bush, all missing. They can only come back and point to Bill Clinton. They cannot defend their man because he is indefensible. He should do the honorable thing that Lyndon Johnson did over Vietnam.
And leave.
I will not seek re-election. That's the only good thing he could do for this
country. Ooh, Arnie, that's such a delicious prospect. Thank you very much. We're out of time in this hour, and thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I always love your opinions. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Robert Hager. Former anti-terrorism coordinator Richard Clark tells the 9/11 investigators he wanted the Bush White House to do more against al-Qaeda, but couldn't get their attention.
While it listened to me, didn't either believe me that there was an urgent problem or was unprepared to act as though there were an urgent problem.
White House spokesman Scott McClellan calls that revisionist history.
You cannot square Dick Clark's new assertions with his past words.
The White House insists fighting terrorism was a top priority from day one. No relief at the pump. OPEC is going ahead with plans to cut production on April 1st, dampening hopes that the end of winter demand would ease record oil prices. Fats emerging as a health threat to American kids. Duke University says more than 15% of kids aged 12 to 19 are obese, offsetting health advances of the past 30 years. I'm Robert Hager, NBC Radio News.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Oh, Raymond.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
Mmm, they taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
Another startling fact from Progressive. When most Americans listen to car insurance commercials, this is what they hear. Talk about boring. It rivals, grouting your tub. So, here's some real news. At Progressive.com, we'll give you our direct price and in most cases the rates of other big name companies. You could save hundreds. So go to Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We now return you to your regularly scheduled blah blah. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates. Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 71 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Health One, and we do have an accident Broadway southbound right at Oxford in the Englewood area. Watch for that. Then we also have that lane change southbound I-25. We're between Logan and University. They've shifted those lanes, so just be aware of that. Of course, we are seeing some sprinkles, so make sure you give yourself a little extra space. The Hospital and Surgical Centers of Health One are sponsoring a career fair 11 to 4 p.m. March 25th at Wings Over the Rockies. Information at healthonecares.com or call 877-HEALTH-1. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, court is in session in Eagle today as the preliminary hearing in the Kobe Bryant rape case continues. Bryant's accuser entered the courthouse through a fire exit just before 9 this morning, allowing her to make a quick walk through the hallway and into the courtroom. The 19-year-old woman will testify behind closed doors and will have to field questions about her sexual history despite opposition from the prosecution. University of Denver law professor Karen Steinhauser was asked if she thinks Bryant's legal team, which got Judge Terry Ruckriegel to allow pretrial questioning of the accuser's sexual history, and will they be able to get those ask those same questions at trial?
I don't know. I think the judge is going to be very careful to make the correct decision. I think the judge is going to have to look at, is this evidence relevant at all to the issue of was she sexually assaulted on that night? Did she say no?
This phase of the hearing continues through tomorrow. This report brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom. What goes up doesn't always come down. That's the decision from the city of Denver and Coors Field following a final inspection of the escalators at the ballpark. Inspectors from the city as well as Cone, the escalators manufacturers, examined the Seagate escalator today. Kevin Kahn, VP of baseball park operations for Denver, says when the season starts next month, the Seagate escalator will only run in the up mode.
We're completely confident that it will do what it was designed to do. We just feel in our minds that take an extra safety precaution and just run them in the up mode as other some other facilities do as well.
That escalator malfunctioned last summer after a 4th of July game, injuring more than 30 fans. Inspectors will check each of the Coors Field's escalators through the end of this week. A state Senate committee has unanimously passed a bill that would schedule Colorado's caucus for the day after the Iowa caucus and the week before the New Hampshire primary during presidential election years. Senator Doug Lanborn of El Paso County, who along with Boulder Senator Ron Tupa sponsored the bill, says this year Colorado won't have much of a say in this year's presidential contest.
Our caucuses this year are April 13th and everything as far as the presidential selection goes has already been decided. And the delegates that we have selected will really have not much of a role at the national convention.
Senate Bill 192 now moves to the Senate floor. In sports, for the second time in 4 days, the Denver Nuggets play the Minnesota Timberwolves, this time at the Pepsi Center. Minnesota beat Denver Sunday night, 98-77. Spring training continuing for the Colorado Rockies today. They play the Arizona D-backs at High Corbett Field. That game just getting underway. Tired of cold, soggy delivery pizza? Pick up a freshly made Nick and Willie's world-famous take-and-bake pizza. It comes hot from your own oven. Look for special Nick and Willie savings in this Sunday's newspaper. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
America's war on terrorism.
I know I'll hear about it here first.
Is followed closely by us for you. AM 1150, KNRC. 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 KNRC.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to have this unseasonal warmth for the next 4 days. After that, we're going to drop about 20 degrees. As we move through this afternoon, expect isolated thunderstorms that will likely last into this evening. We should top out near 75 for the high and then drop to around 44 for the low tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 74. Windy and close to 80 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy, 71 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. It's so hard. There's so many of you who are calling, and I'm dying to hear this Clark testimony, so we've been dipping in and out of it because it's extremely compelling to me. Not only because of what he's saying and what he's not saying, but also in the questioning that he's receiving both from Republicans and from Democrats. It's supposed to be bipartisan. And the Republicans and Democrats on this committee are the least partisan, probably, who are available, you know, that would have a certain gravitas. And, boy, there's a lot of politics going on, so it's fascinating in many, many respects. I also want to alert you to the fact that in the next hour we're going to be joined by Wes McKinley and Jackie Braver. Wes McKinley was the foreman of the grand jury trying to do the cleanup of Rocky Flats, and Jackie Braver was a whistleblower at Rocky Flats. And a lot of information continues to be suppressed, so we're going to be talking to both of them in the 2 o'clock hour. Also want to let you know that I'll be at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7 o'clock, April the 19th. It's a Monday night, helping to lead a discussion of the One Book, One Denver, or is it One Denver, One Book? I can't remember. Peace Like a River. So I hope you'll join me. There's no charge for it. The public is invited. So I hope we'll have a lovely evening. Lots to talk about. I have to reference today's New York Times. The front page story is on the grilling of Bush and Clinton aides that occurred yesterday in the 9/11 Commission. And let me just share a couple of sentences with you because I think it's so fascinating. I can't believe it. Under an agreement here, first of all, what we know from three of the four widows that pushed the 9/11 Commission, pushed it into existence, we know that certain questions are not allowed to be asked of the people who are testifying in front of the commission, but we don't know what those questions are. I haven't seen that reported anywhere. What are those questions that aren't allowed to be asked? And why are we standing for this? More secrecy, more hampering of what should be an open investigation. The Bush administration has refused to discuss details of the Oval Office intelligence briefings in the months leading up to 9/11. The reports, which are known as the President's Daily Brief, PDB, are among the most highly classified documents in the executive branch. But under an agreement with the White House last year, one member of the commission, and that one member is Jamie Gorelick, who used to serve under former Deputy Attorney General in the Clinton administration, so she served under Janet Reno, Jamie Gorelick was allowed to read through a full library of the briefings, and two other commissioners were allowed a partial review. So she was allowed a full review. They were allowed a partial review. She said at the hearing that information in the documents, and listen to this direct quote, she couldn't say what she saw, but here was the way she described it, would, quote, set your hair on fire and not just George Tenet's hair on fire, referring to the director of the CIA. While barred under agency regulations from discussing much of what she was in the report, she said that there had been, quote, an extraordinary spike of intelligence warning about al-Qaeda attacks in the Daily Brief during 2001, and, quote, it plateaued at a spike level for months. So they knew something was going to go on. Gorelick's comments came as the commission released a staff report finding that Donald Rumsfeld did not order the preparation of any new military plans against al-Qaeda or its Taliban sponsors during the seven months between his arrival at the Pentagon and the 9/11 attacks. The report said that despite the intelligence alerts received throughout the war, there was an impression among specialists at the Pentagon that Rumsfeld and his new team were, quote, not especially interested in the counterterrorism agenda. Remember, Condoleezza Rice, mediocrity that she is, she's only been brilliant at one thing, and that is creating for herself a career that takes her from Stanford to the White House. She's a Russian specialist. So they were going back to the old Cold War stuff. That stuff has been dead and buried. A separate staff report on the government's diplomatic response to the terrorist threat found that Condoleezza Rice, Bush's national security advisor, and her deputies rebuffed aides' proposals in early 2001 that the administration step up its support for anti-Taliban rebels in Afghanistan. So in every way, I think what they don't want you to know is how weak they've been, how incompetent they've been, how the president is really a puppet president. Dickey is a puppet president. I don't think there's any way around it. And more of that is beginning to hit the American public, beginning to be exposed by the light of day. And all these so-called experienced people behind him, around him, surrounding him, so that we could feel confident that he knew what he was doing, they know less than he does. They only care about themselves. They care about their friends, the energy people that they deal with, and so on. But they don't care about us as a country. 303-382-1150. And they're not strong on terror. President Bush has not been strong on terror. He has, in fact, in every measure, been weak on terror. They dress him up like a puppet. They wind him up and they put him on board an aircraft carrier. You know, they wind him up so he can talk only in short bursts and usually dyslexically. We don't want to underestimate him. And, you know, then they send him off to the next campaign appearance or the next appearance where he's got a, where they wind him up and he's got, you know, and then when he starts unwinding and then he rounds, he goes around in circles and circles and goes after the wrong, you know, like wrong way Corrigan, goes after the wrong country. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And let me say one other thing. When you Republicans, if you call and I want you, I'm encouraging you to call, but damn it, give me something more than the Republican talking points. Give me something better than, you know what, Clinton was worse. Don't give me, well, Clark was out of the loop and you know, he's a nobody and he's disgruntled. Those are not arguments about the substance of what he is alleging. This is a man with a distinguished career, and this is a man that the White House is going after with unprecedented ferocity. They should use this ferocity and go after Osama bin Laden with it. How about that? There's a concept. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Ray, calling from Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
You know, God picked Bush. He is the best president we've ever had. And nothing you say is going to change our mind.
Really?
You're exposing these Republicans for what they really are, ditto head idiots. If Rush Limbaugh was to get sent to jail, what would they do? The only reason I started out with that is that's exactly how they believe. Look at Medicare. Look at unemployment.
Well, in today's paper, funny you should bring up Medicare, it's not only going to be projected to be broke by 2019, but apparently the new Medicare reforms have weakened it substantially. So all those things that are popular, look at what's going on at the gas pump. It's going to cost you close to $2 a gallon here in Denver, and if you live in California, it's going to cost you close to $3 a gallon for gas.
But they're going to vote for him again.
Well, if they do, God bless what will remain of our country, because I don't think it's the same country that we thought we had.
Like
here.
I said, I just wanted to thank you for exposing them for what they are. Ditto head idiots.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate the call. Not all Republicans are, but many are. Many who are followers of George Bush, those who are questioning some of his leadership, at least we can have a conversation, but you've got to address the allegation. You're a Republican, call in. I will make the time. I may cuff you around, but I'm sure you're a big boy or girl. You can cuff me right back. 303-382-1150, but stay on point. Stay on the allegations that are being made by Dick Clark. Oh, don't tell me he is like Paul O'Neill and they're both disgruntled and they're both inept. If they're so inept, what does it say about the executive branch? What does it say about Bush as a CEO that he allowed them into his administration? What does that say about him? Either way, he doesn't win. 303-382-1150. Jerry and Parker, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, and everybody who argues for the so-called right's not a Bush supporter. You must admit that, because you hang up on a lot of people and you say, oh, these Bushies. A lot of us just happen to not want to be socialists. That's fair. That's fair, right?
I don't know what you're saying. Tell me what the point is that you're trying to make.
One thing is, some of us understand that the whole left, right-wing idealist, anyone who's an idealist is on the verge of fundamentalist. But if you're floating around the middle, yeah, of course you see the Bushes.
Jerry, tell me, you know what, Jerry? You're waddling around in some muddy waters, and murky waters. We have a lot of people on the line. We have only one line open. Somebody grab it. 303-382-1150. Tell me as succinctly as you possibly can, what is the point you want to make?
I'm talking about people, you either want to be a socialist or you want to have as free market as possible and as low taxes as possible. The rest is fodder to keep you and everybody spinning their wheels and thinking real change is possible. It's not possible. Small changes are possible.
Bush, who did you vote for? Who did you vote for in the last? Who did you vote for in the last election?
Two sides of a coin. Voted for tax. I voted for low taxes. I voted Republican. I'm an independent.
No, you're not. You just said something that was so dopey, I can't even believe it, and I can't even address it, that somebody who's idealistic, that idealism verges on fundamentalism, you're so wrong about that. I don't even know where you would come up with an idea like that. 303-382-1150. Don, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
I wanted to correct one of your callers from the last hour. I think his name was Richard, the one that called up and said that this guy Clark had said that the Congress had gutted the intelligence capabilities. There, you remember that call?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what he failed to mention, that Clark said that this occurred during the late 80s and early part of the 90s, so that would put it on the Reagan administration and the first Bush administration who gutted the intelligence community. And furthermore, Enid, last year I asked you a question.
That was a bad, first of all, that whole allegation that somehow that since the intelligence community was gutted, this is why we've got what we've got. There has been some gutting going on, but it is only a very partial explanation as to what's going on. There's a culture of careerism that pervades certainly the CIA, and it has been widely written about. But you have got here a weak president, a president weak on terrorism and weak on just about everything else. The only thing he's strong on is a spinning of brilliant public relations scenario.
Absolutely.
That has him looking stronger than he is. But he's a puppet president. And Cheney.
Absolutely.
And Cheney is effectively your president. You didn't vote for Cheney. And I just got an email from Rufus, and Rufus says, I wish someone on the radio would mention that 9/11 is what you get when you tie up the nation's president with stupid things like Paula Jones and blue dresses instead of national defense. I am not good with words, but I am sure anyone can understand that attacks on the president's sex life by the Republicans cost us 3,000 lives in 9/11. What do you think about that?
Hey, I think you might have a point there, but I think that 9/11 was, you know, I said this to you before on the air, Enid, and you kind of like, you know, you said I was being real cynical, but what would people do if they found out that George Bush and his cronies, Cheney included, had orchestrated 9/11 to bail out?
Oh,
people.
I don't want to even think that. I don't want to think that for one second. I hope you are so wrong about that.
I know you don't want to think it, but the evidence is pointing in that direction, because I heard the testimony of this man, and he said he repeatedly tried to warn the administration about Al-Qaeda.
No, I think it's more the scenario I'm painting with the facts that I have. You're painting the scenario of that they knew and they let it happen. I'm painting a scenario that they were too incompetent and too paralyzed to act. But you've got to ask yourself a question, and somebody who made the observation that there are more documented there's more documented ties between the Bushes and the Bin Ladens than there is between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. So we couldn't fly, but here's an airplane that gets all the Bin Ladens that are in this country out of the country. It's the only plane that's allowed to fly after 9/11.
You know, the strongest piece of evidence, Enid, is that when 3 out of 4 of those planes hit their target, this country did not scramble, not one fighter.
You're right about that, Don. You are absolutely right. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, but I don't want to believe that that's what is going on. Rick in Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, this is really fun. It's like, it's watching damage control, the spin, watching them trying to plug the leaks in the dike after the...
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that Richard Clark on 60 Minutes and then his appearance before the 9/11 Commission is going to be a very strong... However the Republicans and everybody else are going to attack him, I still think it's a real strong 1-2 punch against the administration. What do you think?
Right. And I don't know if you probably didn't hear him on NPR this morning, but... He just expounded. There was some new things that Terry Gross brought out that was just great, great stuff. Showing that Bush lied about the, he has, you know, corroborating witnesses. You know, a real quick point, my wife.
Quickly, we don't have much time.
The strongest Republican you'd ever want to meet was in tears last night after watching all this on TV. She said, I'm never voting for that son of a, you know what, again.
Ooh.
I stuck up for him. My mouth was open.
I wonder if anybody
finally
else...
She had an epiphany.
The last
piece of the puzzle fell in place. She just figured it out.
You know what, Rick? I hope you two had great sex last night. That's all I can say. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. We need to have... the vision and the courage to ask the fundamental questions. And yet so many times we take things, and we as a public, as the American public, take things on blind faith. What is the proof that Osama bin Laden did this?
Well, I don't know. That actually is a good question. It was a question I was thinking about around that time. Why? What are you thinking?
No, I'm saying we need to know the truth. We live in a time where truth has been sort of pushed into the background.
Well, truth is whatever will sell somebody's agenda. That is what truth has become. 303-382-1150. And why isn't anybody asking? Why aren't the papers asking? Why isn't the press asking and demanding? Why aren't we demanding as a country that Condoleezza Rice amble herself over and testify under oath in front of the 9/11 Commission? Why aren't we asking, what is she trying to hide? Why aren't we outraged that the president will only give the 9/11 Commission 1 hour? What are they trying to hide? Why aren't we outraged that Cheney won't reveal the names of the people who made up his Energy Advisory Commission? What is he trying to hide? What don't they want us to know? Why don't they want us to know it? I'm assuming that they must think it will reflect badly on them, otherwise they would be thrilled to tell us. 303-382-1150. Why isn't anybody holding these people's feet to the fire? I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
As America continues its war on terrorism, AM 1150 KNRC is here with you.
The only way to defeat terrorism as a threat to our way of life is to stop it, eliminate it, and destroy it where it grows.
We'll update you when the government issues an alert, and this is the best place to talk about it. Talk about it. Hear both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
First, I worked as a lumberjack. I just couldn't hack it, so they gave me the axe. Now I'm working in a deli, and I just can't cut the mustard.
Are you in a dead-end job or looking for a new career? Hi, my name is Jan Dione, clinical nurse specialist and part owner of Medical Massage Therapy and Associates. In just 8 months, you can become a certified massage therapist at our Medical Massage Therapy School. This is a career that's in demand. A certified massage therapist can make up to $25,000 a year right after graduation. We guarantee individual attention with a 1-to-6 student-to-teacher ratio. The hands-on clinical experience we offer will prepare you for this exciting new career. Our next class begins April 5th, so call today at 303-316-8222. The space is limited, so don't wait. Call Medical Massage Therapy and Associates School of Massage at 303-316-8222 or go to our website at mmta.info.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer's supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chevrolet products. Acres and acres of Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Impalas, and the all-new Colorado pickups are on sale at liquidation prices. Discounts are as high as $13,000 on select vehicles. During this event, profit is not a major consideration. This incredible sale is at two and only two locations, the MedVet Autoplex in Wheat Ridge and the MedVet Autoplex in Castle Rock. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge but is expected to diminish rapidly. The massive MedVet Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, Jim Conder here, host of KNRC's Culture Buzz. Join me Thursday evening at 6 as I go deeper into movies with local film critics Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow. We'll have a fast, freewheeling discussion about the latest movies opening in the Denver area. You'll hear short reviews of the week's premieres, hear which films you should avoid and which films you don't want to miss. Plus, we'll fill you in about the latest film in Madstone Theater's new premiere pick series and tell you how you can win passes to see it. Visit knrcradio.com for more information.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. The markets are mixed with a little bit less than 40 minutes until the closing bell. The Dow right now is down by 32 points to 10,031. The Nasdaq, however, is trying to hold on to gains. It's up by 8 points right now to 1909. So maybe you should consider walking to work tomorrow. For the second day in a row, the average price of regular unleaded gasoline has hit an all-time high. It's now at $1.74 a gallon. Liberty Media's QVC shopping channel is facing a fat fine for making false claims about its for-women-only zero-fat drink. The Federal Trade Commission says QVC violated a promise it made nearly 4 years ago to back up weight loss claims with hard scientific evidence. Microsoft plans to appeal the European Union's ruling that it violated antitrust laws Microsoft has been given 90 days to offer customers a version of Windows without the media player. Microsoft is also ordered to share its source code with rivals. I'm Jennifer Slaw for CNBC Business Radio.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Is now a good time to sell my house? How much can I get for it? Do I have to leave the house when people look at it? Should I hide the stuffed moose head?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time home sellers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:29 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about Rocky Flats and all the secrecy around surrounding Rocky Flats. But I'm getting tremendous emails from many of you, and let me share some of them. Enid, and this is from Renee in South Carolina, so she must be listening via the net. And again, you can always email me, enid@knrcradio.com. You can listen via the net, www.knrcradio.com. And here's what Renee has to say. The conservative callers are always talking about terrorism and how Clinton did nothing to prevent it. I'm worried about terrorism, but gosh, what difference does it make if I'm safe from Al-Qaeda, if I'm living on the street because I can't afford my house, or my kids are sick because I don't have health care, or the streets are unsafe because there are burglaries because people can't afford to provide for their families? The real terrorism is what Bush has done to this economy. The country is running in the red, and no one's talking about it. There are real Americans struggling to just maintain a poor lifestyle. I would love to hear a talk show where the real Americans have an opportunity to speak up. Great show. Thank you, Renee. Well, you're speaking up for that particular subject that probably doesn't get addressed sufficiently. Here is an excerpt from a Paul Krugman column, which I was going to share with you, but I haven't had a chance to do it. And this is from Fred. Fred says, this is an excerpt from Paul Krugman's yesterday's column in the New York Times. Did the administration neglect counterterrorism even after 9/11? After 9/11, the FBI requested $1.5 billion with a B for counterterrorism operations, but the White House slashed this by 2/3. Meanwhile, the Bush campaign has been attacking John Kerry because he once voted for a small cut in intelligence funds. Oh, and the next time terrorists launch an attack on American soil, they will find their task made much easier by the administration's strange reluctance, even after 9/11, to protect potential targets. In November 2001, a bipartisan delegation urged the president to spend about $10 billion on top security priorities like ports and nuclear sites. But Bush flatly refused. Let me give you that again. In November 2001, a bipartisan delegation urged the president to spend about $10 billion on top security priorities like ports and nuclear sites. But Bush flatly refused. Finally, did some top officials really want to respond to 9/11 by not going after Al-Qaeda, but by attacking Iraq? Of course they did. From the very first moments after 9/11, Kenneth Pollack told Frontline, and he is with a think tank, I think the RAND Corporation, there was a group of people both inside and outside the administration who believed that the war on terrorism should target Iraq first. Clark simply adds more detail. So if you are a Republican supporter, I want to hear why. And I want you to address the issues that Clark alleges, not whether or not Clark's got an axe to grind, not whether or not he's disgruntled, not whether or not he's a nobody or he's out of the loop. Those are all irrelevant to the substance of his allegations. 303-382-1150. And now, what I'd like to do is drop in on some of Dick Clark's testimony before the 9/11 Commission. Let's listen in.
The allegation that has been made that the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center was done by the Iraqi government, I think, is absolutely without foundation.
Can you see where a reasonable person might say that if Yassim is given a safe haven inside of Iraq prior to 9/11, that the Iraqis are at least unwilling to do what is necessary to bring someone that we believe was responsible for killing Americans in 1993 to justice.
Well, the Iraqis were, absolutely, the Iraqis were providing safe haven to a variety of Palestinian terrorists as well. Absolutely. As were the Iranians, as were the Syrians.
Dick Clark is being grilled by former Senator Bob Kerry, the guy who used to go out with Deborah Winger.
Commissioner Benveniste.
I just wanted to say that
now talking is Richard Benveniste, former prosecutor.
In on 2 days of debriefings with you, Mr. Clark, and having seen excerpts from your book, other than questions you weren't asked, I have not perceived any substantive differences between what you have said to us and what has been quoted from your published work. Having said that, I'll cede my time to Congressman Romer if he'll give me his time with Condoleezza Rice.
That may not be a good
those
deal.
Those questions for the record, Mr. Mr. Commissioner.
That all?
Chairman.
Commissioner Thompson?
Mr. Clark, in this background briefing, as Senator Kerry has now described it for the press in August of 2002, you intended to mislead the press, did you not?
No. I think there's a very fine line that anyone who's been in the White House in any administration can tell you about. And that is when you are special assistant to the president, and you're asked to explain something that is potentially embarrassing to the administration because the administration didn't do enough or didn't do it in a timely manner and is taking political heat for it, as was the case there, you have a choice. Actually, I think you have three choices. You can resign rather than do it. I chose not to do that. Second choice is...
Why was that, Mr. Clark? You finally resigned because you were frustrated?
I was, at that time, at the request of the president, preparing a national strategy to defend America's cyberspace, something which I thought then and think now is vitally important. I thought that completing that strategy was a lot more important than whether or not I had to provide emphasis in one place or other while discussing the facts of this particular news story. The second choice one has, Governor, is whether or not to say things that are untruthful. And no one in the Bush White House asked me to say things that were untruthful, and I would not have said them in any event. The third choice that one has is to put the best face you can for the administration on the facts as they were, and that is what I did. And I think that is what most people in the White House, in any administration, do when they're asked to explain something that is embarrassing to the administration.
But you will admit that what you said in August of 2002 is inconsistent with what you say in your book.
No, I don't think it's inconsistent at all. I think, as I said in your last round of questioning, Governor, that it's really a matter here of emphasis and tone. And that it's really, I mean, what you're suggesting, perhaps, is that as special assistant to the President of the United States, when asked to give a press backgrounder, I should spend my time in that press backgrounder criticizing him. I think that's somewhat of an unrealistic thing to expect.
Well, what it suggests to me is that there is one standard of candor and morality for White House special assistants and another standard of candor and morality for the rest of America. I don't get that.
I don't think it's a question of morality at all. I think it's a question of politics.
Well, I...
You're listening to Enid Live, and this is Richard Clark testifying before the 9/11 Commission. Grilling him is Big Jim Thompson, former governor of Illinois, Republican.
So I think I'll leave it there.
Congressman Roman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your patience. This has been, I'm sure, a long day for you, Mr. Clark. I want to explore a little bit more, since we've heard from Mr. Tenet on this issue today, the Predator issue. As you know, the Predator first came out of use in Kosovo, and it was used in various activities to, with a laser on it, to track Serb tanks to help us go after those tanks. It was flown in 2000 in the Clinton administration as a recon vehicle, unmanned recon vehicle. In 2001...
I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. We've been dipping into and out of the Richard Clark testimony before the 9/11 Commission. Let's go to the phones. David on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid.
David, I'm going to spell my name for you. It's Enid, E-N-I-D. Enid.
Enid. Good afternoon. Interesting conversation this afternoon. I got in a little late, but you were mentioning... I think you were reading a note from Fred about... the administration had denied a request, bipartisan request, for some $10 billion in additional security.
Apparently, Paul Krugman is writing in the New York Times that after 9/11, the FBI requested $1.5 billion for counterterrorism operations, but the White House slashed this by two-thirds. And in November of 2001, a bipartisan delegation urged the president to spend about $10 billion dollars on top security priorities like ports and nuclear sites,
yeah.
But Bush flatly refused. So tell me what your point is.
Well, a billion here and a billion there. I just took a handheld calculator and divided a rough estimate of the taxpayers in the U.S. into $10 billion and came up with roughly $40,000 a person. That seems a bit high, and I think I would be reluctant to spend that.
Darlin, I think you got to go back and do the math all over again. You're not right. That isn't right. And are you going to use that as to try to justify why? Well, how about $100 billion is what we're spending to fight in Iraq? How much is that a person, David? Give me a break. I mean, what kind of an argument is this?
I had a calculator in front of me.
I wish you could add and subtract, because I don't think the figures you're presenting are correct. But your argument is even more. Your argument is even more specious. So it's cost us $100 billion. Let's $100 billion to fight this war in Iraq is. And how much is that per person? And is that why we should or shouldn't do something?
How much is that?
Wait. Is that why we should or is that why we should or shouldn't do something?
It does seem like there's a point at which we should spend or not spend our taxpayers' money.
Well, so we shouldn't spend the money on trying to protect our ports and our nuclear facilities, our water facilities.
Maybe a reasonable amount would be accepted.
But this administration...
And I think fighting overseas might make more sense than fighting here in America.
Well, wait a minute. So it would be more... In your view, it's better to spend $100 billion on the war in Iraq than it is to spend $10 billion on protecting our nuclear facilities, our safe water, our ports, and so forth. And the president doesn't want to spend the $10 billion here to protect our country, but it's really better to spend the $100 billion to go fight in Iraq. Is that what you're saying, and that we'll be safer that way?
I'm thinking a certain amount of that protection in Iraq was also rebuilding and helping the Iraqi people.
Well, but that isn't what you started with. You said that it would be too expensive at $10 billion to defend our ports, our clean water, our nuclear facilities, our chemical plants, and so forth. But you're saying at $100 billion, that's okay, and somehow it's better. We're helping them rebuild. We'll be safer. You know what, David? You don't make any sense to me. 303-322-1150. Does he make any sense to you? Would you like to comment on this? Could we even have a debate about it? I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 1:41, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 71 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Tyson Ready to Serve Beef and Pork, and finishing up an accident at Oxford and Broadway. Good news there. Southbound I-25 between Logan and University. Still got that slowing due to the lane shift. And we have an accident in the cleanup stages. Northbound I-25 and the ramp to eastbound I-70. It's on the shoulder. Family dinner tonight. Try Tyson's ready-to-serve beef and pork roasts. Pre-seasoned, hand-trimmed, slow-cooked. A great-tasting family meal in about 5 minutes in your grocer's meat case. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
The pretrial hearing in the Kobe Bryant rape case continues today and tomorrow in Eagle. Bryant's 19-year-old accuser snuck in through a fire exit to avoid the media at the courthouse this morning. She will have to answer questions in closed court about her sexual history. This report being brought to you by Health One. Following an inspection today, officials have decided that the escalator at Gate C at Coors Field will only be used in the up direction. That escalator malfunctioned last July, injuring more than 30 people. While officials are confident the problem has been fixed, they feel it would be best to play it safe and only use the escalator to move people up rather than down. The new and improved Colorado Convention Center reached a milestone this morning with crews placing the final steel beam on the metal blade that reaches out over 14th Street. City leaders, including Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, were on hand. The Convention Center expansion is about 80% complete. The hospitals and surgical centers of Health One are sponsoring a career fair 11 to 4 p.m. March 25th at Wings Over the Rockies. Information at healthonecares.com or call 877-HEALTH-1. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:43.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The incredible warmth is going to give way on Sunday when temperatures fall back into the low 50s, so just be ready for that. Today, isolated afternoon thunderstorms with a high near 75. Spotty thunderstorms this evening with lows in the lower 40s. And it'll be partly cloudy and continued quite warm tomorrow with a high of 74. Turning windy on Friday with a high near 80. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 71 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 1:45. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
One day you may need to know where to find exceptional orthopedic care. We'll look no further than the University of Colorado Hospital and the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine. Whether performing the most complex hip and knee replacements, delicate hand surgery, or treating spine problems and sports injuries, this is orthopedic medicine at its finest. At the University of Colorado Hospital, teams of world-class orthopedic specialists offer the newest, most advanced options. They were among the first in this region to use a new minimally invasive technique to repair joint and spine problems. And these experts are innovators who actually develop breakthrough treatments that are used nationwide. For an appointment, call 1-800-621-7621 or visit uch.edu. The University of Colorado Hospital and the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine, far beyond the ordinary.
Beep, 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 yeah.
You told us you needed more traffic reports during the morning and afternoon commute, and we listened. AM 1150 KNRC now provides you traffic reports at least five times each hour during mornings and afternoons. After all, we are the third worst traffic city in America. AM 1150 KNRC. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:47 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock in the 9/11 Commission hearing with Richard Clark testifying. He got a round of applause both when he started and when he finished for the eloquence in which he began and which he finished. But also they try to hold up whatever Fox is peddling and whatever the White House has disseminated against Fox. You have Rush across at the Walmart across the way excreting Republican talking points. There's a memo that the White House has leaked, which was just supposed to be a press background memo that appears to make Richard Clark look like he's contradicting himself. And Bob Kerry, former Nebraska senator, held it up and said what he called Fox, occasionally fair and balanced, is what they called Fox, is what he called Fox. And, the tough grilling was by the Republicans who were doing the bidding, I think, of the White House, because the White House's attack back at Dick Clark is ferocious in its intensity. At least that's the way it's being reported. And I think that Dick Clark has really hit a nerve. 303-321-1150. So let me paint a picture for you. Here are the reports coming out that Social Security is going to be broke by 2019, that the new Medicare reforms have seriously weakened Social Security and seriously undermined it. Social Security is a very popular program, or Medicare, I'm sorry, Medicare, not Social Security, I got that, sorry about that. Medicare will be broke by 2019, a very, very popular program for many of the Americans who don't have health insurance. A lot of people are hoping to hang on until they can get Medicare, whatever, hoping that it's still there when they need it. And a lot of people who have parents who are not in great shape are thankful that Medicare exists for them. And this could be broke by 2019, that the Medicare reform seriously undermined Medicare. That's number one. Number two, gas prices looking like they're edging up toward $2 a gallon here. The highest that they've been is what's being reported, $3 a gallon if you happen to live in California. We are looking at massive deficits. We are looking at the 9/11 commission where nobody wants to testify from the administration, really, where Colin Powell read his whole testimony. It was all been written out for him in advance, if you noticed that yesterday, and written with a certain amount of agility. You have all these high-level people, a lot of them mediocrities, and on both sides of the aisle, too. All they care about was protecting their jobs and their positions of power. You have the president who doesn't want to talk to 9/11, doesn't want to give him more than an hour. He's got time for rodeos. Condoleezza Rice doesn't want to testify under oath. She's got time to go on all the cable shows. How come she can't go over to the 9/11 commission? And at least because they don't want to lie under oath, they could. It's not the crime. It's the cover-up. She could be hauled off to the pokey. And what don't they want us to know? And when don't they want us to know it? 303-382-1150. Don't we deserve to know the truth? Is this a democracy? I thought it was. But I'm painting this whole picture together, and I am looking at an administration that is rotting from the inside out, and I'm thinking today, I could change my mind tomorrow, but I'm thinking today that they could collapse before the election, and they'd have to do something very, very strong, bring in Osama bin Laden, and they are holding all the cards because they're a sitting administration, and we are sitting ducks. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Eric, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I'm sorry, is this for Eric?
It is, Eric. Welcome.
Okay. Hi, thanks. I have a cold, so I apologize. The caller before who said $10 billion would cost each American $42,000.
Yeah,
it's actually $42.
Oh,
so he was only off by a factor of 1,000.
Mm.
And I think that's about when the conservatives talk about all the good that Bush has done. I think they also are off.
Sounds like Jordan says it sounds like a typical Republican. But you know, they're supposed to be so fiscally smart. The guy could. All right, go ahead.
I just think that factor of 1,000 plays pretty much into everything most conservatives are saying these days. Yes, there's some grain of truth in it, but it's off by about a factor of 1,000, and they seem to lose the big picture.
Yes,
quite often.
Well, you know what? That's a good point, and I'm delighted that you called in. Thanks, Eric, for doing it. 303-382-1150. Bernie, Anasel, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm very well, Bernie.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I watched the Clark hearings all morning, and the incident that you referred to when Kerry held up the Fox News communication and said, I guess we can no longer consider Fox News fair and balanced.
He called them occasionally fair and balanced.
Right.
Which
or
I think is, I think it's stretching it even for Fox News, place that I have appeared on, although not lately.
And did you hear O'Reilly when he said that if gas prices don't come down, Bush can forget about getting elected?
I did not hear that, but it wouldn't surprise me that would play a bigger role in people's equation than Iraq.
Yeah, well, he did say that. He absolutely did say that. And then my last comment is about why Condoleezza Rice is not appearing before this hearing. She would be under oath.
Yes.
If she were under oath and lied, that would be the end of her political career.
Well, it would also be the end of her ability to go shopping as freely as it's reported that she does. They'd haul her right off to the pokey. It's the cover-up.
You're right. This is the nerve that had to be hit. And Clark has veracity, validity, and he opened up exactly what we wanted opened up.
Bernie, I'm delighted that you called. Thank you. I think this administration's on the ropes. At least I'm saying that today. I could change my mind tomorrow because these guys got a lot of tricks up their sleeves. John, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, John. Welcome.
I'm on a cell phone, so I can't hear you real well, so I'll say what I've got to say and bail out and listen to your response.
Okay.
I think you need to get used to the fact in your mind and accept that. I can tell you're teetering with it, but you don't want to believe the fact that these lowlifes allowed this to happen. And they allowed this to happen, and they justify the deaths of 3,000. And they justify the deaths in Iraq because this is the new frontier for the PNAC group, Project for a New American Century. And I think they've rationalized this by saying, well, you know, these people are sacrificing their lives for our new cause, and that is they allege they want to spread democracy worldwide. They don't. They want to spread capitalism worldwide, which is a big difference. So I'm going to bail out and listen to you, and I enjoy your show, and thanks for being there. But I do believe you need to believe, you need to understand these people let that happen. And the evidence.
I hope you're not. I really, really. Thank you, John. I really hope John is not right about that. I really hope that that's not really true. I am alleging incompetence. I'm alleging all kinds of stuff, but I'm not alleging that they sort of passively allowed it to happen or actively conspired, as Don seems to think. I just think they were incompetent. I hope I'm right about that. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey Mornings and Tim McLaughlin Afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC.
Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service, Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates. Keep your current numbers. LibertyBellTelecom.com. This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series asks, should schools teach students about homosexuality? The Colorado legislature is considering a bill requiring parents to give written consent before their kids take sex ed. Some legislators want to eliminate all discussion of homosexuality in schools, while others say parents should know exactly what their kids are learning. Does the discussion of homosexuality have a place in the classroom? Does ignoring the issue demonize homosexual relationships and send gay teenagers into isolation and possible depression? What do you think? Debate this issue and more on Colorado State of Mind, Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Don't miss Colorado State of Mind, Friday nights at 8:30 only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
Imagine calling the UK for 6 cents a minute or Mexico for 9 cents a minute, all from your wireless phone. Introducing enhanced discounted international dialing only from AT&T Wireless. Sign up now for $3.99 a month on qualified plans and you can call to over 30 countries at the lowest rates of any national wireless carrier. Just call 1-866-REACH-OUT or visit attwireless.com today.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless.
Countries and rates may change. Airtime and roaming charges and mobile surcharge may apply in addition to international calling rate. Geographic limitations, special credit and billing requirements, device compatibility and other restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Curtis Arts and Humanities Center in Greenwood Village presents Youth Art Month now through April 2nd. Youth Art Month promotes art by encouraging children in grades K through 12 to create artwork for exhibits in their states. Local students from 30 area schools are part of the exhibit. Hours are Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Wednesdays and Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Curtis Arts and Humanities Center at 2349 East Orchard Road. For more information and for hours on select Saturdays, call 303-797-1779.
It's an epidemic of massive proportions.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
People sitting through mind-numbing classic rock songs that they've heard for the 4 millionth time in order to get crucial information that they need.
I'm a honky-tonk woman.
There is help out there in the radio wasteland. AM 1150 KNRC. With the most entertaining talk in Denver. News at the top and 35 past each hour and traffic reports throughout the day. It's not too late. Help is on your radio.
I'm a free bird. Yeah.
Hear both sides. AM 1150, KNRC. She's the Rush alternative.
Then you talk about something else.
And she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Let's go right to the phones. We don't have much time left in this hour. Kevin, hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, hi.
Hi.
I'm a longtime listener and I write you frequently.
Is this the first time you've called?
No, I've called you a few times.
Okay.
Okay. A couple real quick things. We have to keep in mind that this was an elective war. Bush actually chose the date, time, and place, and whether we had to or not. He put combat troops in harm's way without protective body armor. He put Humvees in harm's way without protective metal plating, and he put helicopters in combat without adequate equipment to ward off missiles and RPGs. As a result of these three, many GIs died. His administration tried to reduce combat pay because we had too many troops in combat, and that's the whole purpose of combat pay. And the most important thing that I haven't heard you talk about was what Barbara Bush said to Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America the day before the war started. And I quote, "Why should we hear about body bags and deaths and how many, what day it's going to happen? It's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that?"
She said that? I don't think I ever encountered that quote.
It's all over the internet, and it's even on Good Morning America's website.
I will look into that. That is so callous. That's worse than Let Them Eat Cake.
Yes, and they renamed body bags to transfer tubes.
Yes.
So, yeah. And now
we're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid, Kevin. We are completely out of time in this hour.
One last sentence?
Quick.
Kerry fought in Vietnam.
Yes, and
while
George
Bush
didn't.
Fled to Alabama.
I like that. Thank you,
okay,
Kevin. I
bye.
Appreciate your comments. One more hour of Enid. We'll be talking about Rocky Flats coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Siegenthaler. Before al-Qaeda's attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the Bush administration considered terrorism an important concern, but not an urgent one. That's according to former White House counterterrorism expert Richard Clark, who's testifying before the 9/11 Commission today. Clark said he tried to create a sense of urgency, but could not.
We were not able to point to, and I hate to say this, body bags. You know, unfortunately, this country takes body bags. It requires body bags sometimes to make really tough decisions.
In other news, a French bomb disposal squad has disarmed an explosive device that was half buried under a rail bed near Paris. It's the second time in about a month that a bomb was found on a railway track in France. The Supreme Court heard arguments on whether the words "under God" violated the Constitution's religious establishment clause. The lawsuit was brought by an atheist who told the court the government should stay out of religion. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Mike Ditka, NFL Hall of Fame player and coach.
Hey, I know staying in the game is what really counts. So if what you're doing now isn't working, do what I did. Make a change. Ask about Levitra. Levitra, or Denifil HCL. A change might be all you need to stay in the game.
Individual results may vary. For more information, visit Levitra.com. Call 1-866-LEVITRA or ask your doctor for a free sample of prescription Levitra is right for you. Levitra, stay in the game.
I'm worried that there are things that are going to burn me.
I had butterflies. I was anxious.
Open house, that's somebody else's job.
I had to constantly be meeting people.
My mom was always on the phone.
I figured I could sell it on my own to save a little bit of money.
She was just wacko.
I don't even know enough to know that I don't know.
If you're thinking about selling your home, you need some help. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
For sale by owner, but not by this owner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Good afternoon, cloudy, 71 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by BMW. I'm still trying to work out an accident. Oxford and Broadway, watch for that. Monaco and Yale, another accident. Slow through southbound I-25 from Logan down to University. Watch for that due to a lane shift. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about our all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3. I'm Darren Goldman with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, NBA star Kobe Bryant, the woman who accuses him of rape, and their attorneys are in a courtroom for a pretrial hearing. Bruce Morton reports from Eagle.
Well, we've had half a day's worth of testimony behind closed doors, and it's hard to know just who took the stand, but odds are it was the alleged victim. There are other people who could take the stand during these 2 days of hearings. One of them could be Kobe Bryant himself. Another could be a bellhop at the hotel where the alleged incident took place. And still another could be a former boyfriend of the alleged victim.
Bryant is accused of raping the 19-year-old hotel employee last June. Today's hearing is their first meeting since the alleged incident occurred. This report brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom. A day after Aurora instituted a tiered system of water restrictions, Denver Water got bad news regarding their water reserves. That means tight water restrictions for Denver Water users this summer. Denver Water didn't impose any restrictions following today's meeting, but they said they'll make a decision sometime in the next month. Water engineers say they're looking at current snowpacks and will measure precipitation over the next 30 days. The board will likely make their decision regarding restrictions and surcharges after their meeting on April 28th. If imposed, the surcharges would begin on May 1st. The Colorado Bureau of Investigation just got what they're calling a godsend. The CBI received a $1.4 million grant to fund its DNA lab. The money will help the lab solve unsolved murders and sexual assaults, some up to 50 years old. Much of the evidence is stored in the cold case room at the Aurora Police Department. The funding will help pay for extra technicians, updated equipment, and training. A CBI spokesman says investigators have identified several hundred cases throughout the state that are potential candidates for additional DNA testing. The new and improved Colorado Convention Center reached a milestone today. Around 11 o'clock this morning, crews placed the final steel beam on the metal blade that reaches out over 14th Street. Fireworks flew when the song Proud to Be an American blasted from loudspeakers as that final beam, draped in an American flag, was hoisted to the top of the blade. City leaders, including Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, were on hand for the topping off. The Convention Center expansion is now about 80% complete. The center is expected to open this December. Already the Convention Center has more than two dozen bookings, including the NBA All-Star Weekend and the International Association of Fire Chiefs Convention. In sports, the Denver Nuggets welcome the Minnesota Timberwolves to the Pepsi Center tonight. On Sunday in Minnesota, the Timberwolves beat the Nuggets 98-77. Colorado Rockies are continuing spring training this afternoon. They're playing the Arizona Diamondbacks. Avs are off tonight. They get ready to take on the Detroit Red Wings tomorrow at the Pepsi Center. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service, Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates. Keep your current numbers, libertybelltelecom.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in.
Hi, Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow here, back to invite you to get deeper into movies at Madstone Theaters at Tamarack Square during the Premiere Pick Series. 6 weeks of six critically acclaimed films showing for 1 week only.
And this week we'll be watching Made Up, a comedy starring Brooke Adams and Tony Shalhoub. I thought it was an interesting commentary on our culture's obsession with beauty.
It's been called a coming of middle age comedy, or better yet, Mom Gets an Extreme Makeover.
You know, I've had a crush on Brooke Adams since Days of Heaven and Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
And Tony Shalhoub is always entertaining. He also directed Made Up. A lot of folks know him from the TV show Monk.
I think KNRC listeners will really have a lot of fun with this film. I'd love to hear their reaction of it.
That's easy enough. Come see Made Up and then come tell Walter and me what you think. We'll be at Madstone Theaters every Saturday night leading a free discussion of the premiere picked film of the week.
Made Up runs from March 26th through April 1st only at Madstone. For showtimes and information, call 303-752-3200 or visit MadstoneTheaters.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The incredible warmth is going to give way on Sunday when temperatures fall back into the low 50s, so just be ready for that. Today, isolated afternoon thunderstorms with a high near 75. Spotty thunderstorms this evening with lows in the lower 40s. and it'll be partly cloudy and continued quite warm tomorrow with a high of 74, turning windy on Friday with a high near 80. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me, live in studio, Wes McKinley, who was foreman of the grand jury looking into Rocky Flats, and Jackie Brever, who was a whistleblower at Rocky Flats. They are part of a brand new book, I think. Jackie, were you part of writing the book as well? Or you were a source probably in the
I'm
book? And Wes, the book is by Wes McKinley and Carol, is it Balcony? She's in
Karen.
The
Karen Balcony,
I'm sorry. And the book is called The Ambush Grand Jury, How the Justice Department Covered Up Government Nuclear Crimes and How We Caught Them Red-Handed. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
I have been very intrigued to read about Rocky Flats and everything that went on there and the secrecy that continues to shroud the whole situation. I know you're prevented from saying certain things. So, Wes, why don't you start out and tell us the story for those of us who are new. I'm sure everybody who's lived here for any length of time knows the story of Rocky Flats, but some of us are newer to it than others. So,
Rocky Flats first came into Colorado in '52, and they were essentially a bomb manufacturing facility. And there was all stories rampant about the things that happened out of Rocky Flats, and it was for a purpose too that we had Rocky Flats. But through the years, all of the stories. And then in 1989, due to allegations of environmental crimes being committed at Rocky Flats, that was the result of a two-year investigation by FBI agent John Lipsky. A search warrant was served, and a special grand jury was impaneled to hear evidence of the environmental
violations. And you were the head of that foreman of the grand jury?
Yes, ma'am. I became the foreman of the grand jury.
Okay. And how did you and Jackie meet each other?
Well, she was a witness at the grand jury investigation, one of the first.
You were a whistleblower.
Yes, I was.
What does that mean? What tune did you blow on that whistle?
I started out at Rocky Flats in 1982, and I was one of the first women hired to do plutonium recovery operations, and consequently, the men were unwilling to help me learn my job, so I started keeping a work journal. It was just a journal so that I could keep track of the processes and things like that so I could learn my job better. And it evolved into a documentation of safety practices that were of concern that were happening on a regular basis out there, and brought these to the attention of management over and over again, and every time I did that, there was a direct correlation between bringing these to the attention of management and my union and me being punished. And FBI came and raided the plant, and through a series of just complete mishaps, it was brought to the attention of management that I thought that we had participated in one of the allegations in that search warrant was illegal midnight incineration. And
it came out that there was illegal incineration that was going on.
Absolutely. I worked that weekend.
You worked overtime. You were there.
Yes, I was there. I did it.
All right, so you're alleging something. Management doesn't want to hear about this. And then what happens? Does the FBI take your side or does it not take your side?
Well, I kind of got forced into talking to the FBI. I went to my management with this concern that I was going to go to jail because I thought I had done something illegal, and pretty much spoon-fed them all the documents that I wanted to see to prove what day that was that I worked the incinerator. And I didn't know at the time, but they had altered and destroyed every single one of those documents. And due to their overreaction...
Who, they? Management?
Management.
And management would be what, the government or Rockwell? Or
management would be Rockwell Management at that time.
Rockwell Management. All right, so a lot of these things happen, and a grand jury is formed to investigate, and then what happens?
Allegations of environmental crimes. And then after we started, Jackie was one of the witnesses, and right after we started our investigation, put together by the FBI agent, we read in the newspaper that the politicians, Governor Romer, David Skaggs, representative, had done their own investigation, and they concluded nothing had happened at Rocky Flats.
Nothing had happened.
Well, the midnight burning had not occurred. That was kind
that
of...
That didn't happen either, even though you were there.
Not only...
Isn't that amazing? What an active imagination you must have, but Jackie Graver.
It's amazing that you said they talked about the midnight burning happening, because we really don't know. Till you read the book, there has been no proof that the midnight burning ever happened. The Justice Department denies to this day the midnight burning never happened. That's why they never prosecuted the case, they say.
That it never happened and there were no records about it. They just didn't exist. Are you the only one who testified that it did happen?
No. There were others.
How many others?
Well, there was one other vocal one, and the rest of the crew from that day were intimidated by management into not talking.
Did they ever talk later?
No.
Nobody did talk. So two of you talked and the rest did not talk.
Yeah, that's correct. And the prosecutors, we were the first employees to testify to the grand jury, and the prosecutors afterwards called us unreliable witnesses, and I gave them, they said they couldn't corroborate my testimony, and I gave them every scrap of every piece of information I could give them to corroborate it. And they blacked out the last six pages of that interview. The government blacked out the last six pages.
So now the grand jury finds out that, what, there's no midnight burning? And then what happens, Wes?
Well,
if you're just tuning in, my guests are Wes McKinley and Jackie Breaver, and the subject is Rocky Flats. The Ambushed Grand Jury is the name of the book. It's a fascinating book.
We didn't really find out what had happened, and Jackie said there was two. Actually, there was many witnesses in the grand jury, and we can't talk about what they told us. That part is covered, but we were on an investigation. We did an investigation 2.5 years from August of 89 till March of 92.
How much time does the grand jury work take out of your day? You're a rancher? Is that what you do?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We would typically meet 3 to 5 days.
Out of a week?
Out of a month.
Out of a month.
Once a month, we would come to Denver and be there from 3 to 5 days.
Okay.
And listen to this evidence. And at the end, and we had a very comprehensive set of instructions from the judge, the court system, told us we were the conscience of the people, and explained about how great a country this is. And it is. We knew that before we ever got there. Nobody had to tell us our civic duty and how great it was. But we have a system of laws and a sense of government that our forefathers adhered to, and we could do no less. And we took an oath that no one was above the law. The law is the same for everyone. So we followed those instructions, testimony, witnesses, for 2.5 years. And at the end, at that time, as prescribed in the judge's instructions, we handed our findings to the judge. And he sealed them.
To this day, they're sealed.
Yes.
Because there was just a hearing about that, wasn't there?
Well, that
they're
actually...
They're trying to get the information unsealed, and he said, no, it's sealed?
That was actually filed in 96. I saddled my good mule Marvin and started on a campaign trail in 96 because of this. And a lawsuit was filed by the other grand jurors, 18 of them is what the papers say. 18 of them filed a lawsuit to lift Rule 6E. And that languished there on the judge's desk from 96 till last Friday, I believe.
Yes, to unseal your findings in the grand jury. And what did the judge say?
Remain silent.
Why?
You'll have to ask the court systems.
So how much are you allowed to share in your book, The Ambushed Grand Jury?
There's a lot in there of the actions of the prosecutors, which is one of the intent of the book, is the Wolpe Committee concluded. There was a congressional committee that investigated the grand jury's, or the Justice Department handling of the grand jury, and that committee concluded that this proves there is no accountability in government.
Wow, that's pretty massive. That's pretty damning.
But we went ahead, and through our investigation, we wrote the book that tells what happened with the grand jury case, Rocky Flats.
Are you allowed to talk about what actually happened or what you think happened or what the grand jury found at Rocky Flats? What part of what you know is sealed?
Everything that we heard as testimony, voting record, and deliberations of the grand jury is sealed and covered by Rule 6E.
So any testimony that you heard, any information that you heard. Now, if somebody tells you privately, like Jackie may tell you, outside the grand jury proceedings, something about what happened, are you able to use that information?
Since she's a witness, I'm not sure, a witness that we heard in there. But I do know that if any of the other engineers, and I have talked to some in years past, if they came up, whatever they tell me, then I don't, I'm not covered under Rule 6E. The New York Times ran an article here last week, and they had asked the Justice Department spokesman to comment on this, and he said that due to the secrecy rule, he couldn't comment. Now, this the rule does not have a residual effect. You know what, if I say anything that's covered by Rule 6E or Jackie says it, that don't mean that you're now covered. It dies with the original recipient.
So if you told me, I could talk about it.
You could talk about
it. But are you allowed to tell me?
No.
You're not allowed to tell me. But if you did tell me, I could talk about it.
You could. But Jackie can tell you anything she knows because she's not under that Rule 6E.
So she's not under the rule.
She can
so
sing.
Jackie, sing like a bird. Girl, we want to hear about this. All right, here's my question. First of all, where is Rocky Flats? From Denver?
Northwest of Denver. Jackie can tell you exactly
what's
that.
About 10 or 15 miles or
16 miles upwind of Denver.
Upwind of Denver.
Upwind
so
of Denver.
Does that mean when something happens there, do we inhale it down
Absolutely.
Here?
Absolutely. For many years.
For many years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe now, do you think? After all these years? I wouldn't think so. But what do you think?
Well, I don't think it's safe, period. I really don't. And
what do you think the contaminant is? Is it plutonium?
There are many contaminants out there. The main contaminant of concern to the regulators right now are plutonium 239, which is weapons grade, and americium, which is a daughter product of plutonium. There are other toxic and hazardous materials. We used a lot of different kinds of chemicals and things out there, too. Those were all released to the environment as well.
You personally exposed?
Oh, yeah. I have more than one inhalation, more than one time of, we called it getting hot and or getting crapped up. And the thing that you did, we had plutonium flying all over that place inside our building. I worked in Building 771 in the heart and soul of plutonium recovery operations. Our product was the metal button that went to the foundry and was made into the trigger for the nuclear weapon. And that place had leaks and spills. The equipment was old. It was falling apart. The way you did it is you went in there, you started it up, you ran it till it fell apart. You called in the maintenance. They came and fixed it, and you started it right back up again. It was production first, only, ever. And when we had incidents, which were frequent, if you had the contamination on you, what you would do is you'd have to remove your coveralls in that same place where you were and put on paper coveralls and go to the decon room or go to medical or wherever you needed to go, depending on how bad the spill or whatever was. And I have a little joke that the men out there saw me in my underwear more than my husband did. So I've had more than one inhalation incident. One time I was sucked into a glove box bag port. We work in glove boxes, which have lead-lined rubber gloves on them. And at the ends of the boxes are these big bag-in and bag-out ports, which are covered by a plastic bag where you put material into and take it out of the glove box. And this particular box had a really big bag port. And we had an air reversal, and the band holding the plastic bag on snapped off. And I got sucked into the glove box up to my waist. And then there were several other incidents.
How much did they pay you to do this?
It was in the 80s. It was mid-80s. I think I made around 40-some thousand a year. More money than I ever saw in my life.
And how is your health now?
I have numerous health problems now. I was working with an experimental product that actually gave me radiation sickness. I got burnt skin and my hair fell out, and I had diarrhea and vomiting and nausea for 3 weeks. I lost 30 pounds, and I still have broken veins and burnt skin. It's my, I call it my 10-year sunburn. And I went and filed a grievance with the company on this experimental product making me sick like that. And Rockwell came back and said they don't recognize the skin as an organ, although it's the largest organ on your body. They said it was the lie they washed my coveralls in, and they bought me new coveralls. And they put me right back in there in that
room. Did you file a lawsuit ever?
I did for harassment. I never did for
health issues.
Health issues.
Has 60 Minutes ever done a piece on Rocky Flats?
No. Back in 92, 93, there were several that did, but 60 Minutes wasn't one of them.
Seems like it would be a really good 60 Minute story.
Well, Dateline covered it, Inside Edition, Frontline, those are...
Has anybody gone back besides, now that your book is out, I would think that it would spur a revisiting of Rocky Flats, because I think people like to feel lulled that everything is just perky over there and that the cleanup is proceeding apace and everything is just fine, and I have the impression that that is not the case.
Well, that's what you're supposed to think, but no, we did the book signing last night at Tattered Cover, and C-SPAN was there.
They were there.
Yes, ma'am. C-SPAN will be airing something.
And you will be appearing tonight at the Great Hall at the Iliff School of Theology.
Yes.
7 to 9 p.m. Tomorrow you're going to be at Boulder Bookstore.
Yes.
From 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. My guest, if you're just joining us, Wes McKinley and Jackie Braver, were talking about Rocky Flats. The Ambushed Grand Jury is the name of the book, How the Justice Department Covered Up Government, Nuclear Crimes, and How We Caught Them Red-Handed. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC.
So my business partner calls me and asks if I want to play golf tomorrow. Golf? Golf? I'm in the process of buying a house. I do not have time to putt around all day.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage eases the home buying process by handling the whole transaction, helping you every step of the way. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
It's time to get your Goodyear. Get to your local Goodyear retailer now through April 10th for the Goodyear Spring Driving Days Tire Sale. You'll find sale prices on some of the most popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, buy four selected Goodyear tires and get up to $75 free gas. Mail-in offer ends April 10th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit a participating Goodyear retailer for complete details. For low prices and up to $75 free gas, don't miss a beat. Get your Goodyears today.
This is a consumer alert. To reduce excess inventories of manufacturer supplies, MedVet is hosting a massive markdown sale for Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge products. During this event, sacrifice pricing exists on more than $80 million worth of inventory. Profit is not a major consideration. MedVet is stocked fence to fence with a wide variety of Dodge Ram trucks, Jeep Grand Cherokees, Jeep Liberties, Chrysler minivans, and the all-new Chrysler 300. More arrive daily. 0% financing is available for qualified buyers, and financial officers will be on hand for immediate credit approval. National appraisers will be on hand to assess your trade for its highest possible value. Hurry, if you're thinking about buying now or in the next 6 months, don't miss this opportunity. Selection is huge, but is expected to diminish rapidly. The MedVet Massive Markdown Sale at the giant MedVet Autoplex on the I-25 corridor to part the 181 ramp, Castle Rock, and on I-70 in Wheatridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant MedVet Autoplex.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Enid?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150, KNRC. Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. A record antitrust fine from Microsoft and continued fears of terrorism led to another roller coaster session on Wall Street today, the Dow closing down 15 points at 10,048. The Nasdaq, however, gained 8, ending at 1909. That's how the business day ended. It began with a couple of good economic reports. New home sales jumped last month to their highest level in half a year. If you're looking to buy or sell, the median nationwide price of a new home last month was $205,500. And factories saw demand for big-ticket items rebound in February. The better-than-expected numbers on durable goods was due to stronger demand for transportation equipment, including cars and planes. Microsoft says its settlement offer would have done more for consumers than today's ruling by the European Union. It will therefore appeal the decision fining the software giant $613 million and ordering sanctions that go well beyond a U.S. antitrust agreement. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
This is your 30-second Vanguard Insight on taxes. When comparing tax advantages, how a mutual fund is managed matters. What to watch for? Turnover. Funds that turn over a lot can mean higher taxes. Tax-managed funds that stay the course? Less churning in your stomach. Call 1-888-VANGUARD or visit us at Vanguard.com.
Call for prospectus for more information and read it carefully before you invest. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, we eliminate the middleman? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We've got our own Reagan Revolution every weeknight at 6 p.m. Hear Michael Reagan exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Hallett. Join me weekday afternoon from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:29 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me live in studio, Wes McKinley, jury foreman on the Rocky Flats case, the new book, The Ambush Grand Jury, and also whistleblower Jackie Brever, who worked at, Brever, who worked at Rocky Flats. A lot of the information still suppressed. Jackie, you were talking about how you were sabotaged at one point because management put out the word that you were making waves and therefore the plant could be shut down. And so what did you come in to find?
That's correct. Management put out the word to my union brothers and sisters that I was talking to the FBI and that I was going to shut down the plant and make them all lose their jobs. Just before I went to testify to the grand jury, my work area was sabotaged and someone poked a hole in my glove box glove and I received a plutonium and americium inhalation. And later on that morning, two fellow workers came up and told me, that's what you get for making waves.
Wow. The opening of the book. The book is The Ambush Grand Jury, and you can meet Jackie and you can meet Wes tonight at the Iliff School of Theology, 7 to 9 p.m. It's at the Great Hall. Tomorrow night, Boulder Bookstore, between 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. This is the way the book opens. This is a letter from John Lipsky. He is an FBI agent. It's an open letter to the U.S. Congress. It says, I am an FBI agent. My superiors have ordered me to lie about a criminal investigation I headed in 1989, and the letter is dated 2001. We were investigating the U.S. Department of Energy, but the U.S. Justice Department covered up the truth. I have refused to follow the orders to lie about what really happened during the criminal investigation of Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant. Instead, I have told the author of this book the truth. Her promise to me, and the co-author is Karen Balcony, who is an attorney, her promise to me, if I told her what really happened, was that she would put it in a book to tell Congress and the American people. Some dangerous decisions are now being made based on that government cover-up. Please read this book. I believe you know what needs to happen. Why? I mean, this is a pretty powerful letter. And you said, Wes, that this FBI agent is still working for the FBI.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he has been busted down to the lowest low, and that is what, drug crimes in Los Angeles?
Drugs, gang crimes in Los Angeles. He was the top environmental investigator for the FBI, living here in Denver, and then they moved him down there. When he heard the settlement, when he heard what happened, he got physically ill. He was sick. And he had devoted the 2 years previous to the impanelment of the grand jury. And he believed it was for a good thing that he did. He was protecting environmental laws. That was his job. Sincerely believed in it. And the prosecutors here in Denver, I think, was good people that went along with it. And part of our instruction said that the government attorneys are good, honest people. And you may come to believe or to trust them, but you must use your own judgment at all times. That was the grand jury's charge, to use our own judgment. So we heard all of the investigation, 2.5 years of this.
And his capacity was what, as an FBI agent, trying to, were they looking at what wrongdoing that the government in concert with Rockwell would have done in all the contamination and the violation of environmental rules that took place at Rocky Flats? Is that what the story was?
Yes, in violation of environmental crimes. Environmental crimes committed. So, you know, any agent, they will assign a case to an agent, go out and find this drug ring and get enough evidence to cause them to never do that again. And that was exactly this case.
Can we rest assured that Rocky Flats has been cleaned up?
No.
What do you think is the story? And why was the government, why is all this information still sealed? You were talking about other Superfund sites or West, you know. Do you want to talk about those, Jackie?
Yes, there are, started several years ago, they have plans in place in the government for what's called accelerated cleanups of Superfund sites. And these are to be turned over and reused, turned back over to the communities to be used for recreation. Some of them across the country have already been turned into soccer fields, ball fields. The EPA is working with Major League Baseball, National League
Football.
Are these clean?
I mean, what's the half-life of plutonium?
The half-life of plutonium is 24,000 years.
24,000 years.
And there are plans in place
Can you clean this up?
No.
You can't clean it up. There's no way to clean it up.
But half of it will be gone in 24,000 years.
Yeah.
In 24,000 years?
Half of it.
Well, most of all of us are going to be gone before 24,000 years.
Well, I think they're counting on people's memories of fading.
So what do we see in the concrete consequences of Rocky Flats, the cover-up, the horrible perversion of environmental law and really of the government as well in concert with Rockwell? What do we see here in Denver? Do we see increased rates of this disease or that disease? Can we point to anything concretely as a result of Rocky Flats? People like to think that it's all cleaned up, but every time the wind blows, we're inhaling. What are we inhaling?
Well, there are several studies out there from scientists who consequently lost their funding that found there was increased infant mortality, increased cancer, specifically in the area around Rocky Flats. They, time and time again, were given funding to do their studies, did the right thing, and reported their findings and got their money taken away and got removed from the project. This has happened time and time again. It's just business as usual, and the beat goes on. But there is a lot of research out there.
So we shouldn't be resting so easily here in Denver. It's not been cleaned up at Rocky Flats. What can people do, Wes?
Become involved in the political process. Make sure you hold government officials accountable for their actions.
How do you do that when they seal the records and they won't let you divulge any of the grand jury testimony?
Demand those records to be opened. In the back of the book is an indictment. And you can sign that indictment. You can write your congressman. And when we become involved in the process, many things can happen. We can get good things. We started this investigation. When I first went to Karen, it was my grand jury story. It's more like crying on the street corner about, look how bad I've been treated. And we started this. And along the way, then Lipsky come in and Jackie come in. It didn't just
Lipsky
all happen.
Lipsky is the FBI agent who wrote that letter at the,
yes.
the front of the book.
And it's not like we all got together, had coffee, and decided here's where we're going to go. We started the process. It was one step at a time. And we've come to the point now, and they're going to turn it into a wildlife refuge. Kids are going to play out there. We don't want children playing out there.
When are they turning it into a wildlife refuge?
That lowers the cleanup standards and makes it more pristine. When you got Bambi running through it and kids taking pictures and soccer fields.
Yeah, Bambi's like shining red.
Right.
You know, glowing in the, poor Bambi is glowing in the dark.
Actually.
My guests, Wes McKinley and Jackie Brever, the subject Rocky Flats. Let's go to the phones. Mary, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid, Wes, and Jackie on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I thought you might be interested to know that when I lived in another state, Texas, actually, there was a proposed nuclear power plant that was trying to be built by one of the utility companies. There was a coalition of various individuals and organizations that were trying to get it stopped. And we had in our possession congressional reports that had been submitted and part of the record that they were finding traces of plutonium in cattle near Golden and also in drinking water at Broomfield. This is in the 70s.
Yes.
And it's a matter of congressional reports, which I'm sure is on record yet.
So traces of, what'd you say, plutonium in the cattle and...
In the cattle near
and
Golden.
The drinking water.
Now, this was the 70s.
And is it any? Is it? I'm glad, Mary. I'm delighted that you brought that up. Thank you for doing it. Is it any better now? Is there? Do we know that the drinking water in Denver is safe to drink? Is it safe to drink in Golden? Are they still finding traces of plutonium in this cattle that seems to also glow in the dark? Apparently,
plutonium seems to be everywhere, but they raise the standard. That's one way of making it safe. On the Frontline documentary they did back in '93, they were talking about the. Standard they had set for plutonium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the level started getting to that standard, and on television these guys admitted, well, the only way we could make it safe was to raise the standard. So we have a standard up to 2, and we got to 1.8, we said we better raise it to 5 because it's no longer safe at 2. So now you have a safe standard of 5.
But are we getting that in the drinking water here, do you think?
Probably.
We don't know. Have you sent out any, done any independent analysis? Is any of that going on, do we know?
I haven't done. I'm sure it's going on. We've been pretty busy with the book, but I'm sure it is.
So can we start in one way, besides getting the book, familiarizing ourselves with it, and you have a website. How do people buy the book? Tell me the website again.
The website's located at http://ambushedgrandjury.com.
Ambushed, the ambushed or ambushed?
Ambushed.
Ambushed. Grandjury.com is how you can buy the book. Tedder Cover had it, but they sold out last night. Is that what happened? They'll get more.
Yes, we had a great time.
It sounds like you did.
The profits from this, writer's profits, are going into the anti-nuclear groups, to activist groups. The profits are going back into trying to do something about the nuclear legacy.
Can we talk to our congresspeople and our senators?
Sure.
Is that a way to get... You know, get it going. So
yes.
Call them and let them know that we need more information. We need to find out that Rocky Flats is really being properly attended to. We want to find out what has been kept secret. We want to know the real story.
Yes, and if they don't listen, put someone in their seat that will listen.
Oh, now there's a thought. Thank you both for joining me today. Wes McKinley, Jackie Brever, the book, The Ambushed Grand Jury, How the Justice Department Covered Up Government. Well, there's a surprise. Nuclear Crimes and How We Caught Them Red-Handed. You can meet both of them tonight at the Iliff School of Theology, 7 to 9 p.m. in the Great Hall. Tomorrow night, Boulder Bookstore. Between 7:30 and 9:30. Thank you both for the work that you've done.
Well, thank you.
And all that you've endured. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 2:40. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 69 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Health One. And really looking pretty good out there. We do have an accident southbound I-25 at I-76. That's going to be a trouble spot. It actually just came in. Sounds like a semi rolled over there. That'll be a real mess. Other than that, though, we are looking pretty good, but that will be a trouble spot for all you people on the north end. The hospitals and surgical centers of Health One are sponsoring a career fair 11 to 4 p.m. March 25th at Wings Over the Rockies. Information at healthonecares.com or call 877-HEALTH-1. I'm Darren Colvin with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
The 19-year-old woman who has accused Kobe Bryant of raping her in June practically snuck into the courthouse today. She was brought in through a fire exit and was hurried into the courtroom. The accuser will be answering questions in closed court about her sexual history. This report brought to you by the Masters Tournament and Masters.org. Bad news for Denver
Water regarding the utility's water reserves today. The board didn't impose any water restrictions during today's meeting, but said a decision will be made next month after water engineers look at current snowpack and measure precipitation over the next 30 days. The new and improved Colorado Convention Center is now about 80% complete, and they reached a milestone of sorts today as crews hoisted the final steel beam on the metal blade that reaches out over the out over 14th Street. Join Mike Weir, Tiger Woods, and the world's greatest golfers April 5th through the 11th for Arnold Palmer's 50th Masters. Visit Masters.org for real-time scoring and all your tournament needs. Masters.org, real-time, anytime. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN.
Guess what? We've got them both.
AM 1150, KNRC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well, and of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
In a classroom, a group of eager fourth graders sits intently and studies how a cricket makes noise. In back sits a member of the American Institute of Architects, intently studying how fourth graders learn. The best thing you can teach kids is an enthusiasm for learning, and the place to make that happen is in a well-designed school. The sooner you involve an architect, the better the school. AIA, building on your vision. Go to www.aia.org.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The incredible warmth is going to give way on Sunday when temperatures fall back into the low 50s, so just be ready for that. Today, isolated afternoon thunderstorms with a high near 75. Spotty thunderstorms this evening with lows in the lower 40s. And it'll be partly cloudy and continued quite warm tomorrow with a high of 74. Turning windy on Friday with a high near 80. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 69 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, knrcradio.com, knrcradio.com, and then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then Steve Gill takes over from Nashville for Doug. He's off this week, tomorrow and Friday. Billy Thorpe will be filling in for Doug Kellett. So you're going to have a lot of different points of view in these next couple of days. We're talking, if you're just tuning in, my guests were Wes McKinley and Jackie Braver. Wes was the foreman of the grand jury investigating Rocky Flats, and that whole thing got clamped, that lid got clamped down so tight. That settlement happened so fast, and here we are. We think we're out of the woods, and we're not out of the woods. The half-life of plutonium is 24,000 years, and they want to turn it into a little play area where Bambi, who's glowing in the dark, is going to run around, and if your kids play up there, they're going to be glowing in the dark, too. And what about our drinking water? Is it safe? And what about what we inhale? Is that safe? 303-382-1150. I think it would make a great 60 Minutes piece. I think that 60 Minutes needs to do a big investigation and find out what it is that they don't, what they don't want us to know. 303-382-1150. We've also been dipping into and out of the testimony, of Richard Clark before the 9/11 Commission today. And the fact that Condoleezza Rice will not testify under oath, the fact that Jamie Gorelick was the only one on the commission, and she was the deputy attorney general, I believe, she's the only one that has been allowed to see the president's daily briefings, and she has been quoted as saying she's a deputy attorney general under the Clinton administration, so she worked for Janet Reno, and she has been allowed to see the whole panoply of the president's daily briefings, and she says... not allowed to share the information, but she says that that information in the documents would, quote, set your hair on fire, and not just George Tenet's hair on fire. She goes on to say that there was an extraordinary spike of intelligence warning about the Qaeda attacks in the Daily Brief in 2001, and that it plateaued at a spike level for months, and that this administration did nothing at all. Now, I want to tell you something. I think... that what this administration doesn't... I want to know why they're shrouding everything in secrecy. This is, after all, a democracy, and why aren't people screaming about it? Why isn't anybody asking why they don't want you to know certain things? Why won't Condoleezza Rice testify under oath and in public? What is she hiding? I think one of the main things that this administration is hiding is, A, that George W. Bush is really not very much in charge. He might think he is, and they might give him a couple of decisions to make every once in a while. Dickie, do you want, is this glass half empty, Dickie, or is it half full? I think those are the, that's the nature of the decisions that he makes. I don't think he's much in charge, and I don't think they want anybody to know that. And I don't think he's much engaged in the details of governing, and I don't think they want anybody to know that. And I think Dick Cheney is pretty much running the show, and I don't think that they want anybody to know that. And I don't think they want people to know how incompetent the people who are supposed to be such experienced hands are. I don't think they want that out there. And I want to ask you again, Rich, Dick Clark, I think it's a 1-2 punch against the administration. And they're screaming like stuck pigs in the face of his book and coming back at him ferociously. I think we've only probably seen the tip of the iceberg. I think they're going to give it everything they've got because he's had enormous publicity, both with 60 Minutes, which reached 16 million people last Sunday, and with the 9/11 Commission. So I think this administration is suddenly on the ropes in a way that it has been unaccustomed to being. It has been so arrogant, it can just float every lie in the world, and people are just by it. They can't snuffle up those lies fast enough. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So, if you were a Republican, and you can make the case, and argue against what Dick Clark has had to say, and I don't want to hear anything about he may be disgruntled, he may have been out of the loop, he's a nobody, he didn't know anything. They wouldn't have kept him on if they felt that way. And if he was so low rent, why did they keep him on? Then what does that say about the competence of the administration? So here you have, if you had seen these documents, your hair would be on fire. 303-382-1150. And then they're talking about poor Helen Thomas. It says interviewing, this is a piece about her, interviewing Helen Thomas is sort of like preparing dinner for a world-renowned chef. It's a tad intimidating. It's hard to get around the knowledge that I'm asking questions of someone internationally famous for, well, asking questions. Anyway, she talks about how they put her in the back of the room. They won't pay any attention to her, and it's because she keeps asking questions. And if you see some of the transcripts of these White House briefings, where all Scott McClellan is doing is dissing Helen to her face. Well, Helen, you know, if you were paying attention, well, Helen, if you knew what you were talking about, well, Helen, you don't know anything. You're in your middle 80s. Well, Helen, you know, God, give me a break. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
While the other stations are into sports and infomercials on the weekend, we do what we do best. Talk.
Talk to me. Make me happy.
We're talking here.
Please listen to me.
Listen for live local talk weekends on AM 1150 KNIC.
Don't sell it. Don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. The Colorado Symphony Chorus joins the Colorado Symphony for a performance of Four's Requiem, Handel's Coronation Anthem No. 1, and more on March 26th, 27th, and 28th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Did you know that more than 40% of U.S. troops deployed overseas as first responders are from the National Guard? They have left their families and jobs to defend our country. But what happens when they return? Cuts in federal funding have eliminated programs to help returning soldiers to continue their education. But you can help. The Colorado National Guard has established a fund to help these soldiers when they return home. Mail your tax-exempt donation to the National Guard Education Foundation, P.O. Box 40889, Aurora, Colorado, 80044. For more information, call 303-667-8387.
This Saturday on Style Matters Live, we'll be talking about doulas, people trained to help in the birth process.
Are they taking the place of fathers? How do doctors feel about them? Doulas, help or hindrance?
This week on Style Matters Live, 10 to noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. So wrong on so many different levels. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. Listen in and let us know what you think. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150 KNRC. More opinions than you can keep track of. Stay with AM 1150 KNRC as newsmakers comment on the news. A daily feature at 7:07 a.m. and 5:07 p.m. with Senators John Andrews and Mark Hillman, Representative Andrew Romanoff, and former Colorado Governor Dick Lamb. Another exclusive feature here from AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We just have a few minutes left. Let's go right to the phones and to Ron on the cell. Hi, Ron. You're live with Enid.
Hi. I'm disgusted with both parties. They're both to blame. This is like listening to a game of dodgeball.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm a thinking Republican, not a goose-stepping Republican.
Oh, this is good news.
And I think it's disgusting that these people have been playing politics and footsie for so long that they're more interested in lining their own pockets than they are in what's best for the country and making a better future.
I think you're right. I was watching the testimony yesterday. I was looking at some of the highlighted testimony of, say, Madeleine Albright and just the whole panoply of these big names. I like Sandy Berger today, I have to say that. But for the rest of them, I thought these are people who only care about their own power and their own careers, and the rest of us are left to be sacrificed. And the system is immensely corrupted. So
well,
I really agree with you, Ron. But let me ask you, as a thinking Republican, what are you going to do in the election?
I haven't made a decision yet. I'm waiting for the rest of the poop to hit the ground.
Well, you better get some real high waiters, is all I can say, Ron.
I hear you. But, you know, I have something I would like to say to the people on the religious right who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
Stop procreating. Start adopting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because we got kids out there who need good homes. And, you know, if they want...
Why are you just keeping this to the religious right, or as I like to call them...
Fine, to everybody.
The religious wrong.
Start adopting.
Okay, Ron, I thank you for the call, and I hope you call us again. 303-382-1150. Dave, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi. The guy that I admire during all this is actually a Democrat, the Bob Kerry guy.
Yes.
He's been asking a lot of good questions on both sides. Did you hear the exchange about Fox News?
Yes.
You know what that was referenced to?
Fox News put out something that they got from the White House, and it was having to do with some sort of a background briefing. But what is your version of it, Dave?
Well, I've heard the audio tape, and it said that Clark actually said that that the Bush administration wanted to give the CIA money fivefold. 1 month into the administration in February, and that they didn't want to do pinpricks like the Clinton administration. They wanted to actually go after bin Laden. So I wonder if the news media is actually going to...
I'm going to look at that stuff that Fox is putting out, but I just know that what it's being characterized as is background information on a press briefing. So I'm going to look it over and see what's what. But when Bob Kerry calls it Fox occasionally fair and occasionally balanced and excoriates them for putting out this stuff, then I'm inclined to take his point. But I'll take a look at it, Dave, and we'll talk about it as the days go by. Thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Well, we've covered a lot of territory today, and actually there's a lot of territory that we never did get around to. Medicare is sinking fast. But you've got a picture here for this administration to deal with. Even something as almost as innocuous as extraordinarily high or record high gas prices could sink this crew. And so here you have high gas prices, Medicare looking like it's going down the tubes, that the legislation meant to strengthen it was, it's really, had really been meant to weaken it and weaken the country as a result. And then you have these incredible allegations by Dick Clark, so strong that the White House has broken its policy and come back hard in a ferocious attack at him. And I think they will try to get him every way they can. I think he has no clue. It's like Kobe Bryant's accuser. He has no clue what is in it for him. And by the way, Kobe and the accuser faced each other in the same courtroom today. But we didn't get around to that because we had other fish to fry, the 9/11 committee, and the people who weren't there, even more important than the people who did testify. How come nobody's screaming about why the president only wants to give 1 hour? Why does nobody want to find out officially what really went, what really happened? What are they trying to hide? What would be the reason? If you have nothing to hide, you wouldn't be afraid of testifying. Isn't that the case? Thank you, Joe Anderson, for the wonderful job you did. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for keeping us on the air. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Let's have lunch. You turn me on, I'll turn you on. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up a mess. I don't care how small or how big it is. Your life will change. And stay tuned for Steve Gill, filling in for Doug Kellett, 3 to 6, here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Siegenthaler, testifying before the 9/11 Commission this afternoon. The government's former top counterterrorism advisor says he continued to describe terrorism as an urgent problem, but the Bush administration never treated it that way. Richard Clark also said he wanted to express his opinion on the Iraqi invasion to the panel, a topic he had not been questioned about in preparing for his appearance.
By invading Iraq, the President of the United States has greatly undermined the war on terrorism.
In other news, the woman accusing Kobe Bryant of rape is testifying behind closed doors in a pretrial hearing. She is answering questions about her sexual history that might not be admitted as evidence during the actual trial. Gas prices have reached a record high. AAA reports the national average price for a gallon of regular is $1.74. On Wall Street, the Dow closed down nearly 16 points. The S&P was down 2.5, and NASDAQ gained over 7.5. I'll see you later on CNBC. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Mike Ditka, NFL Hall of Fame player and coach.
Hey, I know staying in the game is what really counts. So if what you're doing now isn't working, do what I did. Make a change. Ask about Levitra. Levitra, or Denifio HCL. A change might be all you need to stay in the game.
Individual results may vary. For more information, visit Levitra.com. Call 1-800.